with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Hey, welcome to Friday. Air drummer, horn intern, junior grade Ferg on the air drums here. Grinning like a fox eating poop out of a wire brush, too. About a minute and a half past the hour. This is Front Porch Friday. Come on up. Have a seat in the rocking chair. Get a swig from the jug if you're so inclined to... Sweet cider is in the other jug, the one without the skull and crossbones on it and all the X's, don't you know? So it's the end of the week. Sorry for missing last night, but I'm a little bit under the weather. I can't tell if we're going to have a long, hot summer or if I've got, like, malaria or something. Because we had a nice, warm, sunny, honest-to-God spring day here in the hills and hollers of wild, wonderful, almost level West Bicod, Virginia. And the studio windows face south. It's a corner, and both sides get the southern light. And it's right steamy in here. So, Ferg's over here sweating, too, so maybe it's not. But, you know, nah... A lot of stress and a lot of misery lately, and that all sort of combined. You know what it's like. You live the life of the American working class. You know, the vast millions of people in this country that our corporate overlords don't give a damn about unless we're out there buying something from the Chinese manufacturers that they buy their crap from. You know what I mean. But anyway, I'll try to get through a show tonight with your help, I am sure. It's Front Porch Friday, so all things, you know, it's however you see fit to make the show your own. Because unlike so many programs, I do like to think that this show is far more about you than it is about me. I mean, there are divas out there there are divas, suffice to say, who think that it's all about them. But I have yet to examine the concept of broadcast media and figure out how it works without someone sharing in the programming by listening to it. Now, granted, that's not how the commercial model works. In the commercial broadcast world, you, who listen to a program, are worker bees. It's your job to absorb the commercials and go out and buy crap, because commercial radio is a delivery system for commercials with some sort of prattle or patter in amongst them. But we've had this discussion before. But that ain't what's going on here. Honest to God, the horn is about you. And it's about what you bring to the program. So you know the email address, Bob Kincaid, BobKincaid, @gmail.com. You know the phone number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, Head On, HEADON. And if you want to save us a nickel or a buck and dial directly, you can do that at 304-658-3333. You are also more than welcome to join us in the chat room. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com/chatroom. Let me know if you have problems getting in, and I will do everything in my power to make sure that you do. We also have forums. Head on radionetwork.com/forum. You can try that. And, hey, I was reminded of what a lousy job I do at promotion last night when I got an email from our buddy Spike in Easton, PA. Spike is the proud owner of a horn bumper sticker, which he displays proudly, oddly enough, on the bumper of his automobile. And he says he's gotten some thumbs up from it along the way, too, as he toddles around in the eastern portion of Pennsylvania, not too terribly far from Jersey. So thanks for doing that, Spike. And if you would like to have your own horn bumper sticker, they are cheap, I tell you, cheap, at the horn store. For instance, if you're in the chat room, you can look over there just a little bit to the left. It says The Horn Store. Open 24 hours. Click on it. There's T-shirts, hats, ball caps, bumper stickers, coffee mugs, all kinds of fun stuff. And you are more than welcome. Well, shucks, it would really help if you did get some stuff there. Plus, it's a great conversation starter, because you can have your T-shirt on. Horn, what in the heck is that? And then you get to tell them about conversation radio, about this little effort that is literally changing the face of how we perceive broadcast. You know, we are, after all, older. We are the oldest now. We're the oldest liberal radio network in the country. Period. I went on the air February 2nd of 2004, having been filling in a little bit before that, but just to give you a little history. February 2nd of 2004, I went on the air. Air America was born a little more than a month later. The Horn is literally the oldest liberal radio network in the country. How's that? Pretty cool, huh? And so, consequently, we are the oldest, but we are by far the best known. And you can help change that with your horn T-shirt, or your horn ball cap, or your horn hoodie, or your horn coffee mug. That would look nice sitting on your desk at work. Say, what the heck is that horn coffee mug about? Well, boss, see how it works? So, just a reminder, the horn store is there, and let me look real quick and see where it is on the main page. I misspelled it, and it's not network, network.com. And here it comes. Well, I guess you kind of got to go to the chat room. Because I don't see the horn store on the main page. So head on radionetwork.com/chatroom. It's there. And maybe I'm just not seeing it on the main page either, but help yourself. Okie dokie. And, I've got some burrs under my saddle this evening. I don't know about you. Yeah, ELO is telling me it's not on all the pages yet. All the pages aren't on yet. There has been massive construction at headonradionetwork.com. But it is all worth it, because the site is going to be so much more than it was before, and it will rival. All done by volunteers, by the way. Because again, this is the network that we've made together. I didn't make the horn. John Fox didn't make the horn. Agnes didn't make the horn. We all made the horn. You made the horn. You keep the horn going. You know, there is a donate button at the top of the page. I got taken to task over that. It's not donate, it's contribute. Because that's what you're doing. You are contributing to keeping liberal media, liberal thinking, liberal voices going out into the ether. And the PayPal button is a handy-dandy little thing, and it's wonderful when you use it. Because we do have rather... I was adding it up. It costs us about, all told, with all of our bills pulled together and equipment and computers and the stuff that we have to buy and the stuff that we have to replace and the stuff that we have to repair and software and equipment and travel and all that, it costs us about $36,000 a year to do the horn, to keep the horn alive. We ask for about $2,000 a month from our audience, and we make up the rest of it one way or the other, because I just don't have it in me to tell you that we need $3,000 a month when we can so seldom even see as much as, you know, $1,100 or $1,200. That just makes it all the more. But anyway, that's where we are. We are 6 days away from the end of April. Where has April gone? We're 6 days away from the end of April, and we are slightly over $1,000 of our monthly $2,000 goal. If you are not a regular contributor or have not contributed lately, it would be great if you hit the button. On the other hand, if you have, thank you so sincerely, very sincerely. And if you are absolutely unable to do so, please understand that that we understand. Hey, I'm poor as Job's turkey, okay? And I understand. I mean, there's liberal causes out there that I'd like to support. Every once in a while, I'll kick a few bucks over toward Bart Cop or something, just because I've been reading his page since, you know, God was a baby. And you got to step up and support. I mean, I gotta put my literally money where my mouth is. Because, you know, one of the central themes, tenets, or whatever that we talk about here is the fact that we as liberals have not figured out how to support the people who are doing the hard work of getting the message out. Lucky for us, so many of you do, especially in such hard times. And I continue to tell you, and I just want you to know, that every cent that you contribute is a humbling experience for all of us here at the Horn, to know that you think enough of it, of the effort, to part with and sacrifice of your own resources. So thank you. I don't know how that happened or how that got started, but it can be this can be a freewheeling discussion this evening. In fact, I hope it will be. We've got some real fun stuff out there. Newt Gingrich has a new BS phrase for you. Expect to see it on liberal and conservative the comedy, entertainment, sports, web pages, all over the internets real soon. Newt's been hanging out with the boys from the coal industry, apparently. And he's got a new way to talk about coal. We'll get into that later in the program, if I can just keep from having something blow up inside my skull. Let's see. Right-wingers lying. Yeah, of course. Michelle Bachmann is still crazy. Yep. Ron Paul, still crazy. Wow, it's not even two from column A and one from column B anymore. The pig-licking party is just one big column called crazy! So all of that is out there, but what is out there right now, what we have going on right now, is our View correspondent from Central Florida, Juanita, is on the line with us.
Hello.
Hey, Juanita.
I shirked my duty today.
Did you?
I shirked my duty today.
Have you been shirking?
Yeah.
Well, see, it'll get you shirk too much and you'll cough like that, Juanita. Did you not watch Meghan McCain on The View?
I saw her the other day.
Oh, was that the other day? See, I'm living in a different time zone, I think.
I think I missed it yesterday because I slept. I went to sleep. But anyway, today I had it on C-SPAN, and they had an energy hearing with Al Gore and Warner.
Right.
Warner.
Yeah, Al Gore dropped a rock on him too. It was pretty cool.
Which one?
When he said the global warming deniers are the Bernie Madoffs of the environmental world.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was good.
That's pretty good.
And I like what he said to that woman too, that blonde, you know, from I guess she's from Tennessee.
Marsha Blackburn?
Yeah,
she's crazier than a sprayed roach, too.
Did you hear what she brought up to him?
No, I missed that part.
She said, did he know anything about something was organized or something? He said, oh, yeah. He said, I'm on the board. And she says, well, kind of like, are you making any money from it? He said, no. He said, if there is any made, I give it back. And she said, well, he said, it's kind of like he got her, you know. And she said, well, the reason I'm asking is because some of the constituents are wondering about it, you know. And
yeah, that's that Fox News style manual thing. Some people.
He said, well, I know what you meant. He didn't have any, I mean, he just let her have it. Without really saying anything else. And then the guy that was head of it, was head of the committee. I mean, he was doing it, you know, sharing. He said, oh, I'm in that too. But I don't know what it is. It's something to do with the environment. But she thought she had him good. She didn't ask any other questions. But, I saw all of that. They were on like 3 hours, and Warner's pretty much in line with him. You know, there's a few things you can tell is different, but he's really gotten into that, and that's what he's working on now. But then guess who they had, speaking of the devil that you were speaking about?
Newt Gingrich.
And he was all by himself. And he said that all that money was going to be spent, and we were going to be left holding the bag and have nothing. And who's the man that's usually in chairing on that? That's chaired a lot of committees.
As we say around here in the hills, you asked me to quit.
You know what? I think
Energy
you know
and Commerce that. Committee. Yeah, Waxman.
Waxman.
Yeah,
Waxman. They let him ask the first questions, and he said, "So you're saying what you want is not going to cost any money." I thought that was pretty good. I mean, he was mad at him. He told him off. And but he definitely, you're talking about the coal, he definitely brought up about that, about the clean coal. We needed to do that. We needed to do the nuclear. And Al Gore explained why, that it wasn't really feasible financially to do the nuclear, you know. And because they asked him, why didn't he include it? And it was pretty good. I didn't see all the nukes. I had to do some work outside, and they had some other people on afterwards too. They were on there a long time, and I didn't see where they broke for lunch or anything. But Newt must have been on there less than an hour. But he's so you know.
It's just like listening to a dream.
I know, Anita.
And I know you don't hang out in such places, but trust me when I tell you this, it's just like listening to some old drunk at the end of the bar. Oh, I went outside a minute ago, and there was a UFO in the trees, and it was looking at me. You know? I say, my hand to God, it was a UFO. It was a communist, socialist, fascist UFO, and it was in the trees, and it was looking at me. I need a beer. That's Newt Gingrich. That's not, you know, that's the Republican Party now, Juanita.
It is, yeah. And Warner told him, he said there wouldn't be anything greater that you could do is to help out now and become bipartisan. He talked to the Republicans in this, you know, they're trying to pass a bill. And, of course, the Republicans are against it.
You know, if the Democrats introduced a bill, and, you know, maybe the Democrats need to do this, Juanita, come to think of it. The Democrats need to introduce a bill. Oh, what would work? What would work? The Democrats need to introduce a bill against beheading fuzzy little bunnies.
Yeah.
Now, granted, nobody's out there beheading fuzzy little bunnies, but if they introduced a bill again that banned the beheading of fuzzy little bunnies, the Republicans would be against it.
Oh, yeah, sure. Sure they would. We got to stand up for people instead of animals.
Amazing.
People need help, not animals. Well, I think it's going hand in glove myself, but that's me. There's something else I just popped in my mind I wanted to tell you now, and it popped out again.
Happens to me all the time.
I know what it was.
Go right ahead.
You heard about Hannity.
Oh, yes. Well, yeah.
I didn't know Charles Grodin. I didn't even recognize him. I hadn't seen him in a long time. I used to listen to his show. You know, he's very liberal.
Yeah, a smart and funny guy.
Yeah. And did you hear him saying something? I guess he was on Hannity's show. I saw this on Keith Olbermann's show last night. And did you hear about it?
Yes, I did. And
Obama's offering $1,000 for every second he can last.
Yeah, and but of course Keith put some caveats on that. He doesn't have to be MSNBC, but he wants multiple networks covering it, not just Fox. And $1,000 for every second that Hannity stands water torture.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's money involved, so that, you know, that's like.
Oh, he claims he wants it for the soldiers, for the, you know.
Right. And that's what, you know, Olbermann will donate. Well, you know, if there's a soldier, if there's a military family charity, mm-hmm. whatever charity the Hannity job names,
yeah,
it'll money will go. But you know what?
I'd
pay it. Closed circuit, you know.
Closed circuit, huh?
Well, no, I would. I'd pay per view. You know, darn straight. Go down to the theater.
You know what else for them to do? I'd like to have them do it and have a stress position.
That's the thing. I think
over and handcuffed.
You and I think so much alike, Juanita.
Yeah.
Yeah, we think so much alike. Before it happens, Hannity needs to be kept soaking wet in a freezing cold room.
Yeah.
For about 4 hours.
And they can't use clean water.
Well, no, we'll let them use clean water. We won't make them use the toilet water or anything, or you know, pure grain alcohol, which I think would be funnier. No, they'll use nice clean water, but I want them kept in a really cold room, soaking wet.
Yeah.
And you know, we don't have to torture them. Just go for a swim, Sean. Now, wait. Here's your green room. Here's where you wait for this to happen. 4 hours later, you come and get him. And you put him on the waterboard, and then, you know, because it's all night. See, that's the thing. All these tests, you know, well, you know, our troops go through it. Blah, 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 blah. They go through it in a controlled condition where they know no one's trying to hurt them.
Right.
So when Hannity gets down there onto the waterboard, I want somebody to look at him and say, now, you do understand that what you're doing is voluntary and that what you're doing can, in certain instances, lead to death.
Mm-hmm.
You can die from this, Sean. Nobody's going to try to kill you, but you can die from this.
Yeah.
You could have a big old ugly heart attack or something like that, and you can die from this, Sean. And then I want it to start.
Yeah.
But I don't want him to start. I don't want him.
He wish he hadn't said it right after he said it.
Yeah, he was looking. Yeah,
he got a funny look on his face.
But then, you know, he had braggadocioed himself into a corner that he couldn't get out of.
Yeah.
But I want him to do that, Juanita, for a very good reason. I want him to understand. I want his blood pressure as high. I want his heart rate as high. I want him sweating bullets, freezing cold before they start, so that he can have some sense of the reality of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I do too.
And I want him very, very well informed that you can die from this.
Right, right.
Because people have.
They think, some people think because it's water, you know, whoa, a big deal, you know.
Right. No, it's only water. Well, hell, it's only air, Juanita, but, you know, I'm pretty fond of breathing the stuff.
Me too. After World War II, we executed a Japanese for waterboarding. But, of course, that was them. That wasn't.
Well, you know, they were waterboarding while being Japanese, and it's the being Japanese part that made them guilty.
But you know what I'm saying is it's like...
Committing war crimes while being German. It's the while being German part that makes them guilty of the war crimes. Because if you're committing war crimes or waterboarding or torturing while being American, well, that while being American part makes it all okay.
Yeah, according to them. But the only real Americans now, Bob, see, you and I, we're not real Americans.
Oh, to be quite honest with you, Juanita, I'm even less of a real American than you. I'm a hillbilly. I'm an Appalachian person.
Well,
I'm like in the basement. I'm below the people who aren't real Americans. I'm really, really.
I don't know what I am, a redneck or a cracker or whatever. They used to call us Georgia crackers.
Yep.
So anyway.
Well, apparently
I'm better than you, Bob.
Yeah, you are Juanita. You are spiritually better. You are a better person. You've got a much better spirit than I am. I have.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, this little string of conversation is engendering more. I just heard from News Ninja Susan, who writes in to say, "Oh, Bob, by the way, just before they go to work on Hannity, have the man who's handling the whole thing lean down and say, by the way, I'm a Democrat."
Yeah.
the question is,
it
how's
it do for me and you and her?
you probably got as good an idea as I do. How's he gonna weasel out of it?
I don't know.
My mom's calling me. The dog ate my invitation. What?
Yeah. Yeah, he sure had that funny look on his face. He really did. Like, what did I say that for? You know, he thinks he's gorgeous.
Oh, he does. He does.
Thinks he's really gorgeous.
That's why I laughed every time. that he talked about John Edwards being, you know, so, you know, fabulous.
Yeah.
let's see. Our buddy Maura says, "You don't need to pre-torture Sean. He's a big baby, and he will cry uncle immediately."
Oh, yeah.
Remember Christopher Hitchens being waterboarded? He lasted 3 seconds.
Wow. I just heard about it. I didn't know when it happened or anything.
Yeah, so you look at Mr. Hannity job and you say, you really, really want this for your charity, don't you? We need you to last a minute.
Yeah.
That's $60,000, Sean. Can you last $60,000 worth for the troops, Sean?
Yeah.
Let's see, our pal Marty says, "Better than that, let it be a victim of one of Fox News' ambush interviews, and let that person be the waterboarder." Yeah, how about over at Think Progress, Amanda Turkel, let her be the waterboarder. That could be fun.
Which one is she?
She's the one that O'Reilly had his little his creepy little stalker hound on her vacation.
Yeah, you know, she's probably too nice to do that. She seems like a nice person to me. Don't you think?
Yeah, she does. I mean, I've had an email exchange with her, and she's a really sweet person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw her, you know, when they interviewed her, and I just thought, gosh, what a nice person, you know, but don't have your own viewpoint. See, that's the thing. I'm kind of like guy, like, you know, go ahead and leave, you know, leave us alone.
Right.
I just feel like Texas, that'd be a nice big country. Why don't they go to Alaska? We don't care. I mean,
Yeah, but there are decent people.
That's the world where everybody thinks alike. Gee, what? How boring.
Hey, that sounds like North Korea.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, everybody thinks alike there.
They could
better.
They could do great in North Korea.
Yeah. But, yeah, I thought I'd tell you about seeing them on there, and I thought, well, what in the world is Newt going to say?
I've got the audio, so we'll get into that in a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard enough that I felt like I had to get something worthwhile done instead of just listening to him. So if I do, I'll listen to him later on or something. But I did, like I said, I saw all of Al Gore and Warner. And most of the questions were directed to Al Gore.
Well, yeah, frankly, he's an expert. He really is an expert.
He's brilliant. The guy is brilliant. I saw him a few years ago with a bunch of scientists, and he just held his own with them. I mean, very knowledgeable. But he got that little gal told, you know, there's her, and then there's one, this older one from one of the Carolinas.
Not sure who you're talking about there.
She gets on there, you know, she's so self-righteous.
Well, you get your self-righteous. You get your self-righteous packet when you sign up to be a pig licking, Juanita.
Yeah, I was talking.
And you also get your hypocrisy card.
I was talking to somebody yesterday who's the right wing. They're not religious right wing. They're really, well, it's kind of a rebellion toward their family. But we were talking yesterday, and they said that one thing they liked about Bush. Because I said, what good has Bush ever done? Well, he sticks to what he starts, you know. He doesn't change. I said, well, I don't like that. I like somebody that does change. I said, no, they like somebody that
I don't know
what they did. And see, I said, well, that's the difference between mine and your thinking, you know.
Yeah, I like a guy who hits himself in the thumb with a hammer and then says, you know what I'm going to do? It was really dumb for me to hit myself in the thumb with this here hammer.
Yeah.
But I stay with what I'm doing. I don't change. I stick to my guns. Here, watch me whack myself in the thumb with the hammer again.
Well, that's kind of like Steele. He knows what he's doing. He did it on purpose, right?
Right. Yeah.
Hit himself with the hammer on purpose.
Yeah. That's the deliberate idiot. Wow.
Yeah.
You know, that sounds like some sort of highfalutin satire piece or something. Maybe our buddy Eugene Finnerman might write if he's listening. You can have that one, Eugene. Deliberate idiot.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Well, I guess I'll let you go, Bob.
Okay, well, you have yourself a wonderful weekend, Juanita. Good hearing from you, dear.
And you too, and I hope you get feeling better.
Well, it's just been a tough 2 or 3 days, and I'm feeling just kind of ooky and maybe coming down with something. I was taking some antibiotics, and, you know, they'll wreck your gut. They'll fix what's wrong with you if they got the right bug to work against, but they'll wreck your gut too, so.
Yeah. Do you hear about down here the people that have worked over at Cape Canaveral?
No, what about them?
That are having some kind of disease, a lot of them. I mean, it's a high percentage, I think, of people that worked over there, and they said NASA is going to investigate. I had a friend that worked over there till they retired, and he was an engineer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of it. They, you know.
Is your friend
still there? You never know.
Yeah, no, you don't. Well, Juanita, have a wonderful weekend, and I'll look forward to. Now you got to get back. You got to quit this slacking and get back to watching The View for us, okay? Because otherwise,
I just don't think I want to watch that today.
You take care, Juanita. Have a good evening.
You too.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Look, how can I be critical? I played hooky last night. View correspondent Juanita, who played hooky from The View today. But she doesn't do that very often. And if there's anything good, we usually know about it. What she brought up, though, Newt Gingrich? Yeah, they can't let this one slide by. The coal industry, the dirty, 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 poisonous, toxic coal industry, has been hustling clean coal, and clean coal has failed because everybody knows that it's a dodge, it's fake. So apparently, industry spokesman Newt Gingrich has decided to coin a new phrase to work on. And it's really, what it is it's an extension of what we have to put up with here in West Virginia, where you drive down the highway and you see a big billboard that says, coal, yes, coal, clean, green, and carbon neutral. So, what do we got? We got step two, Newt Gingrich, in front of the House Energy and Commerce Committee today. Ah, this is too good not to share.
Second, I do think that green coal and carbon sequestration is the most important single breakthrough we can make.
Newt, tell us where you're hiding the time machine. Because if you want to see green coal, you're going to have to go back a few millions of years, and you're going to be walking around in a swamp where West Virginia is now. Ain't going to be no mountains there, just swamp. And you're going to see 100-foot-tall fern trees. No kidding. And there's your green coal. That's the last time coal was green. Then the tree died, fell over in the swamp. It burned down, fell over, and sank into the swamp. But the fourth one stayed up. No, it's not Monty Python. This is not Holy Grail. Tree fell over into the swamp. The swamp water was very unaerated. And as they fell over and fell over and fell over, the water pressure, as the blah, 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 and then all that green stuff began to rot. And some of it rotted in such a way that you can still see the giant palm fronds in the coal. My dad told me about them. In fact, we used to have a slab of it laying around here somewhere that you could see all kinds of funky stuff in. Because it wasn't just giant palm trees in that ancient paleogeological epoch era forest. That's where your green coal is, Newt. I do think that green coal and carbon sequestration is the most important single breakthrough we can make. Newt? English professor moment. Yeah, this guy's reading from a prepared statement. This guy was a college professor. Green coal and carbon sequestration is? Come on, Newt. I'm just a cheap old, the silly old hillbilly redneck English major from Harvard on the Mon. Okay, I'm just a state college guy. Green coal and carbon sequestration are. Because green coal and carbon sequestration are two breakthroughs, not a single breakthrough, Newt. Dang, not only are you lying, you're lying ungrammatically. And I realize that's being a little bit picky on my part, but this stuff, I try to explain to my kids. They'll use grammatical constructions, and I'll go, no, it's, you know, and gently correct, because I'm real weird this way. Now, I realize that I monkey around and play and have fun with the language from time to time, but I do have a general idea of how it works. And frankly, when I hear someone put the emphasis on the wrong syllable, it does to me what fingernails on chalkboards do to other people. It does. So, you know, I try to teach good English to my youngins. And here's Newt Gingrich setting a bad grammatical example for the rest of us. For the children of Merca, saying green coal and carbon sequestration is the single most important. No, absolutely not. It's also insane, by the way. It's not only ungrammatical, it's insane.
It's crazy. Green coal.
Well, let's go on with the little sound bite and see what else the crazy little bugger has to say.
Because the objective fact is China is adding one coal-burning plant a week. There's no evidence they're going to slow down. And unless you get to an affordable green technology for coal, there is no possibility that American developments are going to affect the volume of carbon in the atmosphere, because the Chinese will more than offset any savings we have.
You know, that's the funny thing. As of, I believe, January of next year, maybe sooner, and I think I mentioned it a couple of nights ago, the Chinese will be the single largest manufacturers of wind turbines in the world. Here's a hint. They're not necessarily manufacturing them all for export. China is actually working harder to get away from coal than the United States is, which is just sad. See, the problem, maybe there's some truth in what Newt Gingrich says, in that he does seem to acknowledge that coal is a problem. But being a Republican, he's also so thoroughly patently insane that he thinks that there is some magic technological bullet out there that can make it clean. Hey, wow, this is really cool. Our buddies over at Think Progress are out there quoting Jeff Biggers now. Our pal Jeff, who recently wrote in the Washington Post, quote, "No matter how cap-and-trade schemes pan out in the distant future for coal-fired plants, strip mining and underground coal mining remain the dirtiest and most destructive ways of making energy. Coal ain't clean. Coal is deadly." See, that's the big lie with this Earth Day having come and gone. That's the big lie that the right wing and the corporatists are busy telling.
That the technology just don't exist for us to transition away from the coal.
Problem is, the technology does exist. What doesn't exist right now is the national will to do it. And there's a big difference between those two things. You know, we can live in a world where mercury in the sky doesn't fall into our streams and onto our ground with what is referred to as the gentle rain of heaven. We can have that world. We can have that world if we want that world. Yeah, a little bit more Newt Gingrich for you. He took a few pot shots. He took some pot shots at Al Gore. And it's mighty difficult to stomach. But I already had to, so sorry, you get to too.
Vice President Gore's Vice President Gore Vice President Gore Vice President Gore Vice President Vice President Vice President Gore's reference to 30 cents a day came from an intellectually dishonest EPA study. What Vice President Gore does not tell you is that, having supported the government stopping the exploration for oil, having supported the government stopping the development of shale oil in Colorado, having supported the reduction in the use of coal where we have 27% of the world reserves, we're then told that these government-imposed shortages prove we have no resources. That's fundamentally not true. And let me be quite clear in the spirit of the commercial I did with Speaker Pelosi at Vice President Gore's request. I want to invite Vice President Gore to join in a nonpartisan inquiry, and I'd love to have this committee agree to help sponsor it, so that every high school...
Now, just a daggum highfalutin confounded minute. The day that Newt Gingrich finds himself able to participate in a nonpartisan anything, Newt Gingrich is a Republican. Newt Gingrich can't take a nonpartisan trip to the ice cream shop. Newt Gingrich can't take a nonpartisan pee. Newt Gingrich, don't even think about what goes on when the lights go out, but he don't even have nonpartisan sex. Everything Newt Gingrich does is partisan. Newt Gingrich, daggummit, is the author of that list of words to use when talking about Democrats. You know, associate Democrat with the word rapist. Associate Democrat with the word child abuser. You know the list. And this filthy little hypocrite's going to tell Al Gore to be nonpartisan? It's a good thing I don't move in that circle. It is. Because if I was anywhere near him, I would be struck with a case of just acute political Tourette's and just start, Newt, kiss my ass! If I was within shouting, just like that, I mean, no thing, just boop, out it goes.
...in college campus this coming October could have a discussion about the facts. Vice President Gore in his testimony talked about the likelihood of a 20-foot rise in sea level. Let me say, if we had a catastrophic 20-foot rise in sea level, that would be bad. I'm an
amateur. Huh? If we had a catastrophic 20-foot rise, that would be bad? Wait a minute. He's Newt Gingrich, amateur paleontologist. If you were a member of Congress, but then again your IQ is far too high, but if you were a member of Congress and you had someone testifying to you on, say, the Science and Technology Committee, or maybe the committee that oversees the Food and Drug Administration, and that guy came on and said, sat before you to deliver a statement, and said, "Now I'm an amateur brain surgeon." How much weight would you... This guy's not an... He's not even an amateur paleontologist. He only plays one in front of the cameras because for some reason or another, America's for-profit media have not figured out that this little bastard is not in power. That he is a powerless, idiotic, neo-maxi zoom dweeby. Who happens to be addicted to camera lenses.
Had a catastrophic 20-foot rise in sea level, that would be bad. I'm an amateur paleontologist. I would be glad to take the vice president to the Smithsonian or the American Museum of Natural History. Now, if the vice president wants to come here and tell this committee...
Now, hold on. I just happened to... Hold on, let's go.
I would be glad to take the vice president to the Smithsonian or the American Museum of Natural History.
No thanks, Newt. You know, I took my children to the Smithsonian Museum of Natural History, and we saw all kinds of dinosaurs and the Hope Diamond, and we saw ancient fishies, and we saw one of the biggest daggum trilobites I have ever seen. Big old humongous stuffed elephant. Big old humongous stuffed whale. We saw the corpse of a giant squid. And they've all got information around them telling you how old those things are. But take a tour of the Natural History Museum with Newt Gingrich? No, thank you. No. You know what it would be like taking a tour of the Smithsonian Museum of Natural History with Newt Gingrich? This is what it would be like.
And on the third day, God created the Remington bolt-action rifle so that man could fight the dinosaurs and the homosexuals.
Amen.
That is straight out of a guided tour with Newt Gingrich of the Smithsonian Institution Museum of Natural History.
Now, if the vice president wants to come here and tell this committee he's encouraged by China, then he has to confront nuclear energy.
Yeah, Newt, you got to confront reality.
Crazy, evil, little running for president SOB that he is. It's way too much to stomach. Because on the other hand, Al Gore did drop a rock on him. He made him. Al Gore is going to eventually have everybody, with the exception of the people who do believe that on the third day, God created the Remington bolt action rifle so Adam could hunt the dinosaurs and the homosexuals. Everybody but those little right-wing the religion industry weirdos will eventually come to see that Al Gore is speaking truth. Not some sort of malleable, flexible, Republican truth, but truth that is grounded in facts.
The chair recognizes the gentleman from Texas, the ranking member of the full committee, Mr. Barton.
I was somewhat taken back, Mr. Vice President, by your listing of current environmental problems attributed to global warming. You did miss a few, though. The Dallas Cowboys have not won a playoff game in 10 years. You didn't mention that. And you also...
Damn, he's funny. He's another one of them funny Texans probably wants to secede, right?
How much does that stupid little bastard from Texas make, that Joe Barton, to come in and make Tech Daddy? He's just going to make a joke about the Dallas Cowboys because they ain't won no playoff games. Well, now that they've gotten rid of Terrell Owens, maybe they will, Congressman Barton, but that's a different. This ain't no sports talk program. Dallas Cowboys haven't won it. Merciful God.
Yeah, it's all big joke. Al Gore's come here. He got him a Nobel Prize, and he got him an Academy Award. But we all know that's all liberal. That ain't real. The real science is being done by Exxon.
As Mr. Markey pointed out to me, the New England Patriots didn't make it to the Super Bowl. That I would add those to the list.
Oh, he's a real NFL fan, I tell you what. He must be good American.
The problems that you enumerate.
Congressman Barton, I want to address the point that you made about the science. I don't question your sincerity for one moment.
And I don't question yours, so we're equal on that.
Thank you. I believe that it's important to look at the sources of the science that we rely on. With all due respect, I believe that you have relied on people you have trusted who've given you bad information. I don't blame the investors who trusted Bernie Madoff, but he gave them bad information.
I've never talked to Bernie Madoff.
I'm not saying that you have.
Oh wow, this guy's a real mental midget. Did he just say I was investing with Bernie Madoff? I better talk. I think this is where I have to talk and interrupt him because he might actually make me look like a bigger fool than I've already done myself.
I don't know no Bernie Madoff. I'm from Texas. I just want to secede.
But he gave them bad information and committed a massive fraud that ended up hurting most of all the people who trusted him. Senator Warner made reference in his opening statement to the story on the front page of the New York Times this morning. Absolutely incredible. The largest corporate carbon polluters in America, 14 years ago.
I tell you what, I'm just looking at the thing, and we're not video yet. I just got to tell you, this is a little color commentary from the play-by-play guy. That Joe Barton,
He's got such piggy little eyes, he looks like he needs to be on a spit.
It's their own people to conduct a review of all this science. And their own people told them what the international scientific community is saying is correct. There is no legitimate basis for denying it. Then, these large polluters committed a massive fraud far larger than Bernie Madoff's fraud.
Yeah. But see, Al Gore, he lives in a big house and he's got a big car. You wait. You think I'm kidding. You wait. It's already, you know, here it is. It's 5 minutes before 7 o'clock on the East Coast. That theme has already been pushed, I guarantee you, on some right-wing bladderheads program. Well, it's Al Gore, but, you know, he doesn't live in a cardboard box over a sewer grate. He's lying!
They are the Bernie Madoffs of global warming. They ordered the censoring and removal of the scientific review that they themselves conducted. And like Bernie Madoff, they lied to the people who trusted them in order to make money. And the CEO of the largest, if I can just finish my response, Congressman.
Look, I will step.
No, see, Mr. Vice President, I need to interrupt you. Because, see, I get a lot of money from them corporate polluters, and you laying it on them hard, buddy. You laying it on them hard. And I got to interrupt you before you really just completely bust them, because that's what I get paid for. I don't get paid. That little pissant salary I get from the federal government and all that socialized health care I get, screw that. The real money's in where I get from what I get from the Exxons and the Texacos and the Massey Energies and the Peabodys and Arches of the world. They's the one got the real walking around money. So I got to interrupt you, Vice President Gore, or they won't give me more. Hey, that rhymes.
You like that CO2 concentrations are going up. There's no debate about that. They're about 380 parts per million, and they're going to rise to in the neighborhood of 500 parts per million in the next 50 to 100 years. I'll stipulate that. Now, the consequences of that, and whether that's because of man-made CO2, I think are debatable.
No. See, you used the wrong word, Congressman Pig-Eyed. Honest to God, his eyes are like little bitty slits. I think he's higher than God right now. He smoked some of that old Texas brown weed from out in the West Texas gulches or something. Maybe he's been munching on the morning glory seeds or smoking banana peels or something. I don't know. He's a little squint-eyed feller. Nasty little guy. But the thing is, that from Horn intern Junior Grade Ferg, he agrees. The problem is, you said, I think, Congressman, when the word you're looking for is, I believe. Because what you're about to say is speculation that is not based upon scientific fact. What you're about to say, Congressman, is an article of faith and not reason. In other words, it does not come from those thin gray settlings sloshing around in between your ears that pass for brains. Because all that money you've taken from the corporate pollution industry and the corporate carbon industry and the corporate poison industry, well, it's kind of shivoed your noggin, Congressman.
And I don't know about this scientific peer review that you just talked about, but...
I'm only an unfrozen caveman, Congressman. I don't know about this electricity of which you speak and this pollution.
But if somebody lied about something 14 years ago... I'm sure Mr. Waxman and Mr. Markey will conduct an investigation and oversight hearing into that. My question to you was about the cost of the allowance system. How are we going to pay for it? How many jobs are we going to lose? Now, if you've got...
You dumbass. You outright gold-plated, titanium-clad dumbass jobs we're going to lose. You idiot! The green economy creates jobs. Somebody has to build the windmills. Somebody has to build the turbine blades. Somebody has to build the motors, the very bolts that hold these 30-story structures together that have 250 tons. Million tons? I don't remember. Of steel in them. That's not...
I realize you're probably doing some of that Texas math, that secessionist math. You know, like you have in the schools there where the kid can say 2 plus 2 equals 626 because Jesus told me so and has to be graded as correct on it, Congressman. But when you add jobs, it's up, you use a plus sign. You don't lose jobs. I realize you being a fundamentalist and a corporatist, that's tough for you to swallow, you damn moron. But really, that's how it works.
Information about something that happened 14 years ago, I'm sure, again, our chairman and subcommittee chairman, Mr.
Jesus, Vice President Gore, I hope you kept your finger on your statement there or whatever. Don't let this, because this is such a pitiful, it's pathetic. You know, there's an old saying they teach lawyers. When you have the facts, pound on the facts. When you have the law, pound on the law. But when you ain't got neither one, pound on the table. And this and that is what Joe Barton is doing. This guy's got everything except the big polka-dotted suit, the pointy hat, the red rubber nose, and the floppy shoes. This is a clown act. Brought to you by the people who are killing the planet and paying him to help them do it.
Stu Pack, who's the Oversight Subcommittee Chairman, will look at it. But answer my question about the cost,
yeah,
please.
It's on the front page of the New York Times today by...
Oh! Oh! Smack! And a snap! Oh, Joe Barton, you pig-eyed little high boy, you just got owned.
No, he didn't get dissed. He got owned. No, I'm a better internet than you are, Ferg. He got PWND. He got boomed. Congressman, it's on the front page of the newspaper. It's one of those new technologies we like to call reading. It's better. It's like indoor plumbing. It's going to be the next big thing where you are, Congressman.
Andrew Revkin. The leading corporate carbon polluters themselves conducted a review of this science and found that it's valid. And to the point you made a moment ago, they verified in their own studies that man-made global warming is raising temperatures and causing this crisis. Like Bernie Madoff, they lied about it in order to make money, and they themselves profited. The CEO of the largest got a one-time payment of $400 million. Now, again, those who have trusted them and believed them are due an apology. These corporations ought to apologize to the American people for conducting a massive fraud for the last 14 years.
Gentlemen,
my game
has expired.
Match. Poor little Joe Barton. Going into a battle of wits, unarmed. Man, there's morons. And then there's morons. And we're talking here about more moron. But that's not all we've got. We've got to go to the phones. As Ferg just reminded me. Susan's with us. News Ninja Susan from Oregon. Hey, Susan, welcome to the program.
Hi there.
Hey, what's up?
First of all, that guy... Our congressman just proved the axiom that it's better to keep quiet and be thought a half-wit than open your mouth and prove it.
Yeah, because, I mean, he proved all over the place.
Yeah. Okay, would you care to indulge in a little conjecture?
Oh, it's Friday. If we can't speculate on Front Porch Friday, I don't know when we can.
Well, this is pretty wild speculation. I just happened to think of it when you mentioned the Smithsonian. Okay. And the Hope Diamond. Okay. Now, in the 1950s, the Hope Diamond was given to the United States. Prior to that time, it had been owned by a succession of people, all of which had had, shall we say, issues. It came to the point where the stone was considered cursed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, everybody touched it, dropped dead.
Well, no, not...
Or had something god-awful happen to them.
Yeah, they went insane, their spouses dropped dead, horrendous financial disasters, the whole nine yards. Okay. The owner, in the 1950s, the current owner of the Hope, after his wife committed suicide, I think it was her, he donated the stone to the United States government. Now, up until that time, the United States was just trucking along, just going because.
Oh, my God, I know where you're going.
What's happened since then? May I offer as a conjecture, let's give the Hope Diamond to China.
I was thinking more like giving it to Flush Flimball, but, you know.
Well, you see, he's still in the United States. I wouldn't want it. Yeah, I want it out of the country.
Yeah, but there's a lot of innocent Chinese that don't deserve that screwing.
Well, that's true. But then there's been a lot of Americans that didn't deserve the screwing we're getting either.
Well, I could be real, real ugly and say something now, but I'm not a goner, so, yeah.
But, the United States has just gone down the toilet.
Well, I think we need to shoot it. Let's shoot it into outer space and let the aliens pick it up.
That's another good thing. Yeah, let's just. I realize the government is not going to do anything of that kind. They're going to take a look at this humongous rock and say, "Hey, this is ours. We're going to keep it." But because consider what happened to at one time. It was owned by the French royal family.
Yeah, how did that work out? You know, I've got a photograph of Agnes.
Precisely, Louis XVI.
I've got a photograph of Agnes posing with her ear leaned over to some little little ear bobs that belonged to Marie Antoinette.
Uh-huh. Well, at one time, so did the Hope.
And, you know, the Ferg saw the Hope Diamond. I saw the Hope Diamond. I got to tell you, I wasn't that impressed.
No, I was more impressed by the other jewelry.
Oh, there was some good stuff. And the crystals and stuff? Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
That big old medicine ball-sized geode that's busted open? Oh, man.
Yeah, way cool. The mineral section is just way cool to go through. You know, everybody wants to see the Hope. To me, it wasn't all that interesting. There was a tiara. Set with turquoise for one of the jars.
I remember that, yes.
Yum, yum, yum. Pretty. Yeah, let's face it, any idiot can have diamonds. These things were, it was just gorgeous.
But I did, I saw some, and this is not sexism, it's just I didn't see any guys doing this. I saw women get within like a foot of the case with the Hope Diamond in it and break out into a sweat like I had coming off my forehead in this hot studio at the front of the show.
I wasn't one of them, but I understand. Yeah, I know.
Long ago, when I was just a little baby radio guy, I happened to be in a jewelry store with a good friend of mine who was female, and she was. We were just playing along, and she decided to try on a two carat diamond, and she slid that thing onto her finger. And honest to God, Susan, you would have thought it was kryptonite. I mean, yeah, her face.
All glassy-eyed.
Her face flushed. She got glassy-eyed. Sweat broke out on her little forehead. She started to shake. I could, you know, I put my hand over on her, and her pulse had gone up.
Yep.
I hadn't seen anything like that since I was out in the woods and a feller got his sights on the first buck he'd ever shot at.
I don't react that way to diamonds. I react that way to other stones. Like I've got a 5-carat.
I react that way to Porsches.
Amethyst. Tell Agnes I've got a 5-carat perfect amethyst.
I will. She'll be jealous.
I had hubby trained there for a while.
Yeah, see, my one of my favorites is garnet. I love garnets, and they're so much prettier. But you know, emeralds and sapphires. Ooh, love sapphires.
Yeah, the thing with emeralds is you have to be real careful because most of them are cooked the same way with rubies.
Yep.
Actually, what's
no? I'm talking about the real ones. The cooked ones are just like you know.
Well, what I mean is the real ones. They cook them to improve the color.
Yeah, to make them that richer, darker green or
right.
Richer, darker red. Yeah. That's why I like garnets better than rubies. Garnets have a prettier
exactly.
Red.
Okay. Well,
they also happen to be my birthstone, whoever said made that up.
What a lot of people don't know is diamonds are as common as mud. What's made them what they are is De Beers.
Yeah, by manipulating the market.
By the rarest stone on the planet is a natural pigeon blood ruby.
Well, that makes sense. I figured it would be an emerald or a ruby.
That has not been cooked. You get one of those, you got some. But you will find it probably in an estate. The modern ones are pretty much, well, let me put it this way. Rubies come out of, guess where, Afghanistan. There ain't many rubies coming out of Afghanistan.
Yeah, rare as hen's teeth. Pigeon's blood and hen's teeth. We're on a roll.
Yeah, the Taliban would, when they wanted money, they would, this is going to kill you. This will kill Agnes. They would go into what used to be the gem mines and toss in some dynamite and then pick up the shards, where with careful mining they would have been able to pull out 5 and 6 carat stones.
Oof.
But instead they couldn't be bothered, so they just threw in dynamites and blew everything to hell and gone.
Well, and, you know, here they are blowing up our mountains here in Appalachia. If they just leave that alone for a few million years, it'd all be diamonds.
Well, you can go into Arkansas and pick up diamonds. There's a national park where you can go diamond mining.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
As if anybody would really want them, you know. Yeah. Who needs another diamond? I don't.
Yeah, it's like that scene in Casablanca. Diamonds, diamonds, diamonds are a lot on the market.
Yeah.
There are diamonds everywhere. What we need are human flesh. That's where the money is.
Yeah, if De Beers actually let the market float.
Yeah, but where would the fun be in that?
Yeah, they would be, you know, it would be like costume jewelry, but they've turned them into treasure items just by an incredibly effective ad campaign.
And see, what makes me crazy is they are effective. See, I think in this big picture world, Susan, there's stuff you want diamonds for. Drill bits.
Yeah.
Grit for saw blades and grinding and stuff comes in real handy because it is the hardest substance on earth.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, Susan, I'm going to run along. You have yourself a wonderful weekend.
Anyway, I don't know if anybody's mentioned it on air, but May 11th, pay attention, folks. Randy's coming back.
Yeah, I heard.
Hey, I like her.
Yeah, a lot of people do.
So, give my love to Agnes and sounds like Ford is working out real well.
Oh, yes. Horn intern junior grade Ferg is sitting here. Still working on learning not to talk when mic is open, but, you know, great production staff were not built in a day.
Although, yeah, I think what I like best is the occasional giggle that works through.
Well, yeah, and that was the same thing with Agnes. You know, the Agnes giggles were precious. That meant that I'd scored a couple.
Yeah, I do think we all ought to think about getting rid of the Hope Diamond.
It's just a question of who you want to give it to.
Somebody else.
I know exactly who to give it to, but I'm going to keep my mouth shut because it'd get me in trouble.
Afghanistan?
No. Nothing like that.
No?
Trust me, it would get me in huge trouble, so I'm not going to. And you can't make me.
Oh, now I'm going to die of curiosity, Bob. You're just killing me.
Well, everybody can play a guessing game if they want to send in an email. Where does Bob want to send the Hope Diamond? Susan, have a wonderful weekend. Say hi to Donald for us. I hope he's doing okay.
He's doing fine.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
Hey, everybody.
Bye now. So we're a little about 15 minutes late getting to the second hour break, but we're going to go to the second hour break. You can jump on in if you want to. The phone number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. Email to bobkincaid@gmail.com. Or you can dial direct, 304-658-3333. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. You're why the horn exists. This is Activist Radio. I'm Bob. And we'll be right back.
She's a rich girl, she don't try to hide it. Diamonds on the soles of her shoes. He's a poor boy, empty as a pocket. Empty as a pocket with nothing to lose. Sing ta-na-na, ta-na-na-na. She got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. Ta-na-na, ta-na-na-na. She got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. 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 She's crazy, she got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. Well, that's one way to lose these walking blues. Diamonds on the soles of her shoes. She was physically forgotten, but then she slipped into my pocket with my car keys. She said, "You've taken me for granted because I bleed you. Wearing these diamonds." And I could say, ooh, as if everybody knows what I'm talking about. As if everybody here would know exactly what I was talking about. I'm talking about diamonds on the soles of the shoes. Compensate for his ordinary shoes. And she said, "Honey, take me dancing," but they ended up by sleeping in a doorway.
by the bodegas and the lights on over Broadway, wearing diamonds on the soles of their shoes. And I could say, ooh, ooh. Everybody here would know what I was talking about. I mean, everybody here would know exactly what I was talking about. I'm talking about
It's Thursday, April 23, 2009.
Not really, but I played hooky last night.
It is time for us to lay a new foundation for economic growth by beginning a new era of energy exploration in America. That's why I'm here.
Obama in Iowa on Earth Day, the mother of all climate weeks, plus intersex fish.
Intersex fish?
Intersex fish.
Desi will explain. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this is your Green News Report. Intersex fish?
We'll get to that.
We'll get to that? All right. That's all I want to know about.
All right. President Obama spoke in Iowa on Earth Day, calling for a new era in energy exploration.
The choice we face is not between saving our environment and saving our economy. The choice we face is between prosperity and decline. We can remain the world's leading importer of oil, or we can become the world's leading exporter of clean energy.
He was also there promoting his green jobs agenda after touring a manufacturing facility that had once built Maytag washing machines but's now been converted to building wind towers.
It was an incredibly uplifting speech, actually. We'll have the whole speech online, the video online, in our Green News Extra segment at greennews.bradblog.com. I want you to go check that out.
Meanwhile, Democrats in Congress are holding Earth Week, calling it the mother of all climate weeks.
Oh, boy.
54 witnesses over 4 full days of hearings on climate change, and that's all part of the process of negotiating groundbreaking legislation, the American Clean Energy and Security Act, that establishes a blueprint with national standards for energy efficiency, renewable energy, and pollution. House Democrats want to have the bill out of committee and ready for a vote by July.
If I could ask, negotiating a bill, who are they negotiating with?
They would be negotiating with Republicans and conservative Democrats in the House. Conservative Democrats from coal states are having issues with this legislation because of cap and trade. And Republicans have vowed to obstruct all of this legislation. They're trying to frame the debate debate as being too costly as what they call an energy tax.
So what we're talking about is getting one or two Republicans in the Senate, right, so they can not filibuster it, but over in the House, or even Blue Dog Democrats in the Senate, right?
Well, this is just a blueprint for the bill. They haven't actually written the entire bill itself. This is just the blueprint from which they're going to start the negotiations. So this is going to be a long process. Now, the Republicans have been deliberately misusing statistics to claim that any kind of cap-and-trade legislation will hurt average Americans. But a new study that's just out from the Union of Concerned Scientists calculates that the average American family will actually save money in the long run due to energy efficiency gains. And also they're saying that, quote, the United States can dramatically cut global warming emissions and reduce consumer and business energy bills at the same time.
So when crazy Republican Michelle Bachmann wrote in Minnesota op-ed that it would cost average Americans something like $3,000 extra
a year. She was wrong. She knows that statistic was wrong.
She was making that stuff up.
Yes, the MIT scientist whose study that was taken from and was deliberately miscalculated, he actually tried to contact the Republicans and say, please don't do that. And they're using it anyway, saying, well, we stand by our numbers.
And the paper finally apologized for that, but I don't think Michelle Bachmann ever did.
No, I don't think she did.
Congresswoman from
Minnesota. Now, moving on to something completely different, the U.S. Marine Corps is trying to contact 500,000 people who lived or worked at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, to warn them about tainted drinking water. Apparently, two wells were discovered to be contaminated with industrial solvents, and they're trying to contact anyone who lived or worked at Camp Lejeune between 1957 to 1987.
Wow. And yes. As of 87, was it cleared up?
As of 87, that's when they closed the well that the contamination was discovered in.
Holy cow.
Yes. For 30 years, they were using that well.
Wow.
Also, in water contamination news, a Chicago Tribune special investigation reported this week that officials from a Chicago suburb knowingly and secretly piped contaminated water that was contaminated with toxic chemicals from a dry cleaner into residents' homes for more than 20 years.
Well, officials did this?
Officials. City officials, little town called Crestwood, Illinois. Even after the EPA had ordered the well shut down in the early 80s, city officials kept using the well and lied about it, filing false reports and keeping a second set of handwritten books hidden away, and they were apparently doing it just to save money.
Is anybody going to jail over
this? Well, the Illinois Attorney General is investigating. It's the same, actually, surprisingly, it's the same dry cleaning chemical that was found at Camp Lejeune that's contaminated this well in Crestwood.
Paging Aaron Brockovich.
Indeed. There's also something in the water in our nation's capital.
You don't say. Yeah.
Yeah, seriously, scientists are still unable to figure out, after a six-year study, by the way, unable to figure out why 80% of male smallmouth bass in the Potomac River are carrying eggs. After 6 years, this is the largest ever investigation of intersex fish. Researchers could find no one identifiable cause, and they're now seeing changes in female fish as well. They're saying that it could be environmental contaminants like endocrine disruptors, which come from plastics, also agricultural runoff from fertilizers, antibiotics, hormones and pesticides, or it could be sewage, or it could be a delicious combination
of all. So the males are carrying eggs.
Yes, 80%.
Yes. And there's no other examples of this with bass carrying eggs elsewhere?
Oh, of course there are. There's problems with amphibians having intersex issues all over the country, but this is a specific study because it's in the District of Columbia, right, the river that runs right through it. And they're also saying that they're seeing similar reproductive issues with the female largemouth bass, which is a different species.
You can figure out more on that at greennews.bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report, where every day is Earth Day.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Alrighty, Front Porch Friday rolls around at 28 minutes past the hour. We are halfway through tonight's Friday night program. The last of Conversation Radio for the week. A new week cranks up at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, Sunday night, with All Fox Stuff and John Fox, who always gets our week started, because it's Monday to him anyway. See how it works? Yeah, that's how it works. Huh. Yeah, the intersexed fish in the Potomac. That's caused by nasty, nasty chemicals. Some of which are phytoestrogens from fertilizer runoff from the chicken farms in the Potomac the watershed. Some of which, however, are poisons that fall from the sky. Things like mercury, brought to you by coal. And there are a million things to get to yet. All right. Ferg's taking a call right now. Okay, let's go to hold. Tell me who it is. Okay, yeah, it's our buddy Alan. Hey, Alan, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I was going to talk to you about the energy, wind energy.
Mm-hmm.
It's all, one argument I never hear about the alternative energies is the main reason that we can't have alternative energies, I think, from what I see, is because monopolies. The energy companies feel like if we go over to wind and solar, they will not be able to monopolize those like they do coal and nuclear. What do you think?
Or oil. That's the funny thing, though. I think you're right, Alan. But what I also think is that shows their short-sighted ignorance. My Lord, green, the numbers are all in. The economy will grow. Jobs will grow. You know, there are massive investment business opportunities in the green economy. And why these dirty old carbon hustlers aren't expanding into that business is frankly beyond me. There's lots of wind. And some of them did, as a matter of fact. I may be wrong, but I was told somewhere a while back that there is a wind company that has a different name now, but its original name was Enron Wind. Not joking.
I was thinking if they make it easy for people to have solar panels on the roofs of their houses, they're going to lose a lot of money from their standpoint, from their viewpoint.
I guess you could argue that, Alan. But if they get into the business of it, they won't lose anything. And that's why I don't understand the stockholders of Enron and Shell and all the others, Exxon. I don't understand why the shareholders aren't saying, you know, why aren't you people looking to the future? Why aren't you massively into wind and solar? Why aren't you researching geothermal? Because one of these days the oil is going to be gone and so will our profits. And, you know, we plant, because there's a lot of people out there that have stock portfolios, and they do, because mostly it's the rich who own stocks, they pass it on to their kids, right?
Yeah.
And so I don't think the Rockefellers sold off their shares in Standard Oil, do you?
No.
No, I think that got turned into Exxon, and they've still got it all. And they'll plan it, and they'll pass it on to the next little generation of Rockefellers. And so, you know, for those, that generation down the road, why isn't, and you know, one of the funny things is that people are asking. There was a bit of a shareholder revolt at, I believe, an Exxon shareholders meeting not too long back.
Yeah, I have a friend who's pretty aggravated with Exxon. He's got stock in the company. He says that he doesn't feel like he's getting near as much out of it as he should, because he thinks the head people, like the CEOs, get too much of a cut.
Well, executive compensation in this country is out of control, and it's because the phony version of, well, it's not even capitalism, it's anarcho-randianism, has been allowed to run riot in the streets. That's how you wind up with Bernie Madoffs, and that's how you wind up with corporate CEOs who make about a million times more than they could possibly ever be worth.
Yeah, what we really need in this country is regulation on things like that, what, so a cap on what these people can make, but that'll be socialism. And also we need, incentives to, get people to have solar panels on the roofs, but I guess that's socialism also. I ran across a truck driver recently from one of those, Eastern, communist countries, in the past communist countries.
Former Eastern Bloc country, sure, yeah.
Yeah. He told me that, we need more socialism in this country. And he's a guy who's experienced communism. But, he told me that there's a difference between communism and socialism. That's what I was, that's my idea. That there's definitely a difference. Communism is where the government owns everything, it runs everything. But socialism is not that. I mean, what is your definition of socialism?
Socialism is a structure whereby the foremost, and I'm sure there will be some who disagree with me, whereby the foremost driving intent on the part of government is the well-being of the people. Capitalism, on the other hand, has as its foremost driving intent the well-being of companies.
Yes, which are not people. I guess they are from the standpoint of libertarianism.
I'm sorry, I'm also contending with the Horn intern, Junior Grade Ferg, who was asking me a question. Could you repeat, please, Alan?
Oh, yeah, I was going to say that capitalism, unbridled capitalism is what libertarians really like.
Actually, no, see, I think libertarians actually favor anarchy because they don't want any government regulation. They don't want any interference. They don't want any taxes. They just want to let business run riot over the people. And to my way of understanding, that isn't capitalism. That's anarchy.
Yeah, that's
corporate
that's
anarchy.
Point there. And then they get young people to think it's cool because they say that they believe in let people smoke pot.
Right. A libertarian is nothing but a Republican who wants to smoke dope. I mean, I hate to put it that simply, but it really is. It really is that simple.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Tom Hartman said, it's like going to a football game, but no rules football game.
That's very, very true. Very true. Where are you right now, Alan?
I'm in Wisconsin. I just came back from Duluth, Minnesota.
I bet it's still winter up there, isn't it?
Yes. It's nice and cool at night. First time I've ever been that far north. I like it.
Anybody look at you and say, you talk funny?
I think they do that all the time. They just do it.
Yeah, but when you're in Duluth, Minnesota, you get to look at them and say, you talk funny too.
No, that's right. I tell them that too.
Where are you headed next?
I tell them I like to see the people that Garrison Keillor talks about.
That's very true. Miss Tallulah with you?
Oh, yes. She's laying down. She's probably not a good dog for riding because she just lays down and sleeps most of the time. Just when I go slow, that's when she stands up and looks out the window.
Well, because when you're going fast, she probably makes her a little sick at her stomach. Always did that to me.
Yeah, it makes her kind of nervous.
Yeah, when you slow down, then she can get a good eyeball on the scenery.
Yeah, she likes to look at cows.
Well, and who doesn't? It's a thing in our family. Whenever we pass a field full of cattle, everybody has to look out the window and yell moo.
Yeah, I wonder if she got in the field. I guess you'd try to chase them, but.
Or play with them. I mean, we used to have a little Italian greyhound, wee tiny thing. I loved her to pieces. But she'd go out in the yard and she'd chase the deer, not because she wanted to hurt the deer. It's just that the deer were the only thing that were as fast as she was.
Wow. You got a greyhound?
Italian greyhound. They're wee tiny little things. They're like greyhounds, only smaller.
Oh, those greyhounds are fast. poodles are pretty fast, too.
Yeah, they are.
Shaved real close. They look like a greyhound.
You're right. It's all that frou-frou stuff that gave poodles a bad name, but they're wonderful dogs.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Except you have to brush them all the time.
Oh, yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. You know, I've come to the conclusion, because we've got one in the house, that Schnauzer is German for poodle.
Yeah.
Because when you don't give them the Schnauzer haircut, they get all fluffy and almost as curly as a poodle does when they, you know, during the winter when you don't want them freezing to death and being hairless.
Yeah. I like their little mustaches they have.
Yeah. Well, this little guy's just as cute as can be. He's my buddy. But he is bonded to Agnes very, very, profoundly. If she goes in the bedroom and closes the door behind her, he will stand at the door and he won't whimper and he won't whine. He will outright bawl until she lets him in.
Oh, wow. That's quite a attached dog.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. Well, Alan, good to hear from you, and thanks for your thoughts. I do appreciate it. And you have yourself a good weekend, and stay safe on the roads, all right?
All right. Yeah, good. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Bye now.
All right,
bye. Like I said, that was our buddy, Alan, over the road driving truck. Originally from Alabama, but from points heaven only knows where. In Wisconsin now, coming back from still right chilly Duluth, Minnesota. Let's see. Now, I wanted to bring something to your attention. We talked about Newt Gingrich and his green coal. Just to throw this out for your consideration. Was it a week ago that I was telling you about all the layoffs here in West Virginia? We got about 2,000 coal workers out of work right now, laid off. It was the night I was talking to Wayne. I don't know what that was, maybe a week ago last Wednesday, when I told him about how one coal company said it was rationalizing jobs, which meant that people who worked for the company didn't get a paycheck anymore. Yet they were laid off. But the coal company was calling it rationalizing. And in the course of describing the rationalization, they and Massey and others like them, coal companies said, you know, the reason we're not mining any coal is because the market isn't paying the price that we want. So we're just going to let West Virginia coal workers suffer for it because we're not making the money that we want because we're some greedy bastards. That's why we're coal executives. And what did I say? In case you're wondering, this is one of my one of those Bob gets out his tattered robe with the moon and star with the moon and stars on the and frayed cuffs and the magic eight ball with the crack in it that says "Answer Hazy, ask again later." This is one of those moments. I told you, I said back then when we were talking about all this that the right wing coal industry, and trust me, it's a right wing industry. All right. It's peopled by right-wing religion industry people. They are ideologues, just nasty, you know, Republican supporters, just vile, all right? Just are. With the exception of the workers, the union workers, that is. UMWA members generally vote Democrat. That's about it. But I said, when we were talking about the fact that the... You know, we're not getting the price we want, so we're going to say, screw you, workers. And look what happened. I said, they'll blame the environmentalists for it. You remember that? If you're a regular listener to the show, I'm sure you remember that. Guess what? It's another one of those moments where you can be glad that you listened to the horn. Because I say it here, and a week or so later, it happens. I'm looking at a newspaper article from the Williamson Daily News. It's about the only business left in Mingo County, West Virginia, apart from the people blowing up their mountains. Article from the Williamson Daily News by Charlotte Sanders and Loretta Tackett. And it is titled, headlined, Senator Calls for Public Support on Coal Issue. And how this passes for journalism, it's another one of those moments. This is journalism?
urging West Virginians to unite in an effort to halt the cancer eating at its coal industry, Senator H. Truman Chafin, D. Mingo, is pushing for a public voice in the nation's capital. Now's the time for our people to unite and contact our congressional delegation in Washington for support of West Virginia's most vile industry, Chafin said, advancing his 13-point argument. Jesus, God, Moses only had 10. Regarding the coal crisis threatening the state's livelihood. Now, I'm not trying to form a cult or anything, and No. I don't have any prayer hankies. The most imminent concern, according to Chafin, is permit delays and the threat of permit rejections, especially for mountaintop mining, and court interference spurred on by carpetbagger lobby groups. Oh, wait. Good old Truman, who's sort of a Dino, you know? I mean, he may have a D after his name, but I wouldn't trust him. I wouldn't trust him in a flower shop with a dead skunk. Honest to God, I wouldn't. It's one of those guys, you shake his hand and you wind up feeling like you need to go and take a shower or six. So Truman says, armed with the new judicial reviews of the Clean Water Act, especially as it relates to mountaintop removal methods mining coal, the EPA has begun a systematic review of a great many current permits and through its actions is either delaying or, in a sense, freezing new permits, which has also stymied coal investment futures, at least for the time being. Okay, that's the quote. Now, see, if you were Brian Ross, you could actually, remember this from Wednesday night, if you were Brian Ross, you could do an article over at abcnews.com that says, West Virginia senator calls other West Virginians carpetbaggers. And you'd be true. It'd be true. Because, see, I'm just checking, but let me see. Judy Bonds' people down at Coal River Mountain Watch, her ancestors have been down at Coal River Valley for about 9 generations. Okay? Patty Seebach, same thing. Nanette Nelson, yep, about 9 generations. Me, yep, about 9 generations. Truman Chafin, sorry, I about said Don Chafin. John Chafin was the sheriff of Logan County who had lots of miners killed for trying to stand up and organize for the union. Never mind. Truman Chafin, however, he says that somebody who's been in West Virginia for 9 generations is a damn carpetbagger. I don't know where Truman Chafin comes from, but I can tell you where I come from. Calling somebody a carpetbagger is fighting words. Just are. This paragraph from the news article. Coal companies have consistently laid off miners over the last year. Hobet Mining issued layoff notices to more than 350 workers at its Hobet 21 Mountaintop Removal Complex along the Boone-Lincoln County border last August. Due to a court order blocking a new permit which would allow the mine to grow. There's only one problem. That was all dealt with. The court order didn't block squat. Massey Energy idled a West Virginia surface mine and is laying off 300 people. It announced earlier this month. While Appalachian Fuels mining complex in Boomer has laid off 200 workers, the company announced this week. Again, there's only one problem. All of those are market-related layoffs. Those are all layoffs that happened because the coal industry said that it could not get the price for coal from the Chinese that it wanted. And therefore, it just wouldn't produce. Not a damn thing to do with environmentalists. The EPA stepping in and reviewing permits, those permits are for future operations. Those are operations that will add to the destruction of West Virginia, not the ongoing destruction of Appalachia.
Every single one of the layoffs was a result of capitalist market forces and not anything related to environmentalism or environmentalists or people who don't like having their homes destroyed. But that's okay. If you're Charlotte Sanders and Loretta Tackett, you can just write an article and lie. And you can quote West Virginia Senator Truman Chafin as he lies.
The West Virginia Coal Association, which, by the way, if the West Virginia Coal Association said that it was that the sun rose in the east, they lie so often that I would feel compelled to stand at night and face east and make sure that that's where the sun rose. That's how much of a gang of filthy liars they are. The West Virginia Coal Association says more than 2,000 West Virginia miners are unemployed. Chafin says, coal is not a renewable energy resource, but clean coal technology could be implemented, reducing the amount of carbon particles emitted into the air.
No, it can't! Truman, you damn dumbass, even if you are a Democrat! You stupid, you freaking moron! There's no such thing as clean coal! Any more than there is tasty cyanide or fat-free lard! You lunkhead! Chowder brain! Dumbass.
Chafin says that one of the problems with clean coal technology is being able to mine coal in the first place at the pace of mining currently going on. You know, blow up more mountains. Efforts are underway by a number of environmental groups, mostly made up of out-of-state lobbying groups. Now, this isn't a quote. This is the newspaper writing this. This is, what are these morons' names? Charlotte Sanders and Loretta Tackett. Yeah, it took two people to write this stupidity. Efforts are underway by a number of environmental groups, mostly made up of out-of-state lobbying groups, to end the production of coal altogether, both deep and surface mining. To my knowledge, there is not a single out-of-stater, there is not a single individual on the staff of Coal River Mountain Watch, Ohio Valley Environmental Coalition, Highlands Conservancy, that's an out-of-stater. They live with the devastation. But that's okay if you, apparently, if you work for the Williamson Daily News, it doesn't matter if you print facts. What a damn dummy, Truman Chafin.
Their aim is to end the use of carbon-based fuels. By ending the production, this means our economic system in West Virginia as we know it would come to an end, and unless our free enterprise system could replace it with other types of jobs, West Virginia would become a dead state with relatively few jobs while the rest of the populace would either be retired or on some form of public assistance. Bunch of welfare queens.
I added the welfare queens part.
Only problem is, he's either stupid or he's deliberately lying. Because West Virginia and Appalachia can have a real, viable, vibrant, multifaceted economy. We can. But we can't have it until they stop blowing up our mountains. Because nobody wants to bring a company somewhere that its employees are going to drink poison water, breathe poison air, and live on poison soil.
And I'm certainly no acolyte of corporate America, but if I was some CEO, I wouldn't take them somewhere. I wouldn't expect my employees to go to somewhere where the one county school has been built on top of a toxic mountaintop removal site, or where the water was suspect, or where the air had particulates from high explosives in it.
Damn, Truman Chafin, were you born stupid or did you work to get that way?
we need to get an aroused populace in West Virginia and understand this, that it has to be sustained and hell has to be raised in order to protect this vital industry and our jobs. Notice the sentence, to protect the vital industry and our jobs. Nothing in there about protecting the people. Nothing in there about stopping poisoning innocent little babies fresh from the womb who are already born with a 10-point IQ deficit because of the toxins that coal pumps into their very bodies as they grow inside their mothers. Not a word about that, Truman Chafin, you son of a bitch! No, never a word about people. Never a word about harm. Never a word about human agony. Never a word about blood and sweat and death and fear. Never a word about the students at Marsh Fork Elementary School going to school every day, sitting next to pressurized poison and having 3 billion gallons of toxic sludge hanging over their heads. Not a word about them, Truman Chafin! So even though I wasn't feeling my best, it looks like we're going to make it through the program. It's about 5 minutes before the third hour of the program. Special request in from our critic at large, Reverbo, who just has a real itch to hear this, and it's a great song. Check it out. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is Activist Radio. This is The Horn.
When she was married to Sam, he was 27 years old. He had to change his style a little, but it was just fine. They stayed up all night, but they got it finished just in time. Now on the arm of her daddy, she's walking down the aisle. Then she catches my eye and she gives me a secret smile. Maybe it's too old-fashioned, but we once were a close friend. Oh, but the way that she lives today, she never could have been. Well, I can see her now in a tight blue jean, pumping all her money in a record machine, spinning like a top. Should have seen her go. Oh, I knew the bride when she used to rock and roll. I knew the bride when she used to rock and roll. I knew the bride when she used to rock and roll. I knew the bride when she used to rock and roll. Now a proud daddy only wanna give his little girl a bang. And so he put down a grand on a cozy little loving man. He could have caused a perception and qualified success. He had a flash or tail upon them 50 kids. Take a look at the bridegroom smiling, please smile. Taking hands all round with a glassy look in his eyes. He got a real good job and shirt and ties nice. But I remember a time when she would never even look at him twice. But I can see her now drinking with the boys, breaking their hearts like they were toys. She used to do the pony, she used to do the scroll roll. I knew the bride when she used to rock and roll. I knew the bride when she used to rock and roll. I need to cry when she used to rock and roll. I need to cry when she used to rock and roll. Well, I can see her now with her headphones on, jumping up and down to her favorite song. I still remember when she used to want to make a lot of noise, hopping and bobbing where the streets on the cars. She used to love to party, she used to love to go-go. I knew the bride when she used to rock and roll. I knew the bride when she used to rock and roll. I knew the bride when she used to rock and roll. I knew the bride when she used to rock and roll. Hey!
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
All righty then. I knew the bride when she used to rock and roll. Dandy good, Reverbo. Dandy good. Hey, pop on into the chat room if you want. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com/chatroom. Fun times going on there. There's always good conversation. Knock yourself out. Enjoy. Coming up on 2 minutes past the hour, 2 minutes past 8 p.m. here on the East Coast. And, well, shoot, why not? Let's go to the phones. Preston is with us from Denver. Hey, Preston, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
How are you?
Doing well, thanks. It was fun to hear your son answer the phone.
Yeah, he's now officially Ferg Horn Intern Junior Grade.
Sounds good.
Just learning dad's business, you know. Fathers like to do that with their sons. Someday, son, all this will be yours.
It's a great thing to be doing, definitely. We have a community radio station in Boulder called KGNU that encourages, you know, all sorts of people to come by and try to learn the trade and, trying to create their own shows. It's mostly musical stuff. I think for my own tastes, I wish they'd do more stuff like this, talk radio. In fact, the community radio stations around the country only spend a fraction of their airtime on dialogue. So, but they do a lot of beautiful music and good news programming like Democracy Now! And alternative radio and stuff like that.
Well, you know, and you know, I was very fortunate, Preston, when I was a young man, because back then the radio stations were still run by human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was able to get a job at a little low-rent station, spin some discs, learn to read the news, learn a little bit, a little bit of that, and
great.
Make a whopping $3.35 an hour doing it, which was the same as the guys over there flipping burgers at McDonald's or mopping the floor at Shoney's were making. So, you know, it seemed to have considerable more advantages. Plus, I had, since it was a gospel radio station, I had 72-year-old groupies. And you just can't say that about a job at McDonald's or Shoney's.
That's great. Do you know, does West Virginia University, do they have like a college radio?
Oh, gosh, they've got one of the hottest little blowtorches on the East Coast.
Really?
I worked there as a young man when I was in school there. Yeah, it's
WWVU FM, U92 FM, 91.7 on your dial.
And is it that mostly music? Or
yeah,
what is
yeah, it is. And it's all kinds of music. You know, the format's out the window. You know, from, you know, 3 to 4 a.m. is your traditional Central Asian nose flute hour, you know, that kind of thing. It's really quite diverse and a lot of fun to listen to.
Good. Well, what else?
I used to do the Dead show there from time to time.
Great.
I would do the lunch hour, yeah, because I'm an old rock and roller. And of course, that's back when we still queued up records on queued up vinyl on turntables. All those CDs were making their way in. No, CDs weren't there yet when I was at U92. No, it was all vinyl. And you know, some nights, you know, you just kind of had your, because you'd been, you know, sort of out being a college student all night, and you'd come shuffling into the studio at 2 a.m. to pull your 4 hours. And that was some fun radio on the really, really keen edge. And a lot of the guys who I worked with have gone on to really be something or another. There's a right wing consultant in D.C. now, a guy named Keith Appel, who got his start at U92 in Morgantown, and went on to. Well, he's gone on to big right-wing things.
Okay, well, that's a shame.
Yeah, it is. You know, another good one gone bad. But he was always kind of a weaselly little... Never mind.
Okay. Well, I also wanted to report, speaking of media issues, wanted to let you know that here in Denver, we're fortunate that we actually have two PBS TV stations. And one of them, kind of the more grassroots-based one, at least in its origins, and I think to this day to a degree, they aired the movie called Mountaintop Removal from I forget the producer, it was like Hay Canyon, I don't know. But anyway, excellent film. And so a lot more people are learning about this issue. So I also saw that your caller, Maria, won the Goldman Environmental Prize.
Yes, very proud of her. That was announced this past Monday.
Awesome.
Yeah, the Environmental Nobel.
Yep.
Doesn't quite come with the money that the Nobel comes with, but it does come with the recognition and the prestige. And by golly, just like Judy Bonds before her, who also won it, she earned it. Maria has earned it and earned it and earned it. And I'm just proud to see her get the recognition.
Yeah, and I hope it does come with some money, I believe, not substantial like Nobel, but something to...
Yeah, it does. It comes with some bucks.
Great.
But it's the fact that it's recognition for, you know, Maria has lived with a lot of torment and a lot of torture at the hands of the coal thugs.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, I think she's had her dogs poisoned. She's had her children threatened at school. Her life has been threatened.
Coal trucks, like, been threatening her, driving very aggressively, stuff like that.
Right, yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
But no. You know the story. And I hope more people will go out. Just Google Maria Gunnoe, G-U-N-N-O-E, and you can find out more about her.
It was wonderful. I was, this past week, I've been buying issues of the New York Times, which I don't often do, but thought I'd check it out. And there was actually an announcement from the Goldman Prize Foundation or something talking about Marie and the other winners of the prize this year. I think there are like four other people in other parts of the world.
There's a winner for each continent.
Okay, I see. Great. So there she was in the New York Times. So even the establishment media has points, you know, apertures, openings that people can utilize. Sometimes they have to buy their way in. Sometimes there's really good work being done. I mean, we're all familiar with, like, Noam Chomsky's criticisms of the New York Times, all very valid and important, and other groups that criticize them. But they do have some people that are doing good work. and it's sad to see that they're having so many financial problems, you know, people losing careers in that business.
You know, it is, and I grieve, you know, the horn has been touched because one of our dear friends, a person who listens regularly to the programming, has been touched by the layoffs and has seen people, you know, with 30 and 40-year careers just thrown out on the street.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate it because, you know, I like journalism. I like real journalism. I like journalism when it is practiced as journalism should be. Objective, unbiased. You know, we hear so much from the right wing about, you know, liberal media. But the fact of the matter is, Preston, I don't want liberal media and I don't want conservative media. I want unbiased media. And right now the thing has swung so hard to the right that I personally think that that has a lot to do with why papers generally as a medium are dying. Because a whole lot of people have walked away from them because of the bias they have. You know, there's a newspaper over in Beckley. I wouldn't wrap fish guts in it.
Right. And I know that feeling too. there are parts of the institution that should just kind of,
you know, out there where you live, look at the demise of the Rocky Mountain News.
Yeah. So, and then it became, since they joined our, you know, they took some of the writers, a couple who I liked, to the Denver Post. But the Post itself has changed as well. It's just has a different, you know, has more of a national, well, a more, I don't know, more of a gossipy feel to it.
Well, and that's the, you know, that's the effect, that's the Fox style manual effect on journalism.
Yeah.
You know, Fox does TV news, but don't think for a minute that their impact isn't seen in print, too. You know, the rise of assertions inside a newspaper article, Preston, that say, some people say, or mm-hmm. it's believed by some that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not reporting. That's gossip.
Yeah. At some point, they may add Page Three Girls, was it, with the Rupert Murdoch?
Yeah.
Newspaper and,
you know, the Seattle Post-Intelligencer gone, and it's happening all over the country, and some of it does have to do with the rise of the internet, because I think you can draw a parallel, really, Preston, between the newspapers and something that was said earlier in the program about the fossil fuel industry. The newspapers treated the internet the way that the fossil fuel industry is treating green energy, namely, not wanting anything to do with it, or dealing with it at best grudgingly.
Yeah.
And you know, what they're afraid of is that the green energy movement will be their demise, and as long as they refuse to participate in it and advance it, they're right, it will be. You know, and the same thing happened journalistically or media-wise. Look at the failed attempt by the New York Times to make people pay for Frank Rich and Maureen Dowd, Bart Kopp calls her Dragon Lady, make people pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a miserable failure.
They tried to make a kind of an online Rocky Mountain News here, and I guess they needed like 50,000 subscribers, and they only got like 3,000. So, yeah, it's going to be tough. There's going to need to be just a lot more people doing it as a labor of love. And I think you very much do that at the Horn. And
yeah, this ain't no for-profit enterprise, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. For sure. One last thing I want, and I agree with all your criticisms and stuff, but the New York Times, something else they did this week that I enjoyed, they had a front-page story and a photo on well, their photos, you know, written, they say, women from the Imbera Indian group at a meeting last month with a United Nations representative in Cotru, Colombia. The women fled with their families after paramilitary groups entered their villages. And they linked to audio and other photographs. And the headline of the story is Wider Drug War Threatens Colombian Indians. So that's another way this drug war needs to be undercut. You know, even if you never smoke or whatever, we need to also recognize the injustices as it relates to the Global South and, you know, how this drug war becomes a pretext for
oppression of poor folks.
Yeah, continuation of the Indian Wars, you know. And
speaking of Colombia, you know, the last time we talked, or recently when we talked, Preston, we talked about the ongoing labor action down there in their coal fields. And I'm very, very proud of the miners and the railroad workers for demanding decent treatment and decent wages, because Colombia, of course, is the last right-wing fascist-oriented government pretty much down there. The Bush administration managed to drive most of the South American continent into the arms of more responsive, people-oriented government, just by being themselves, just by being what Republicans and Bush administration people were, you know, monsters. But I was watching, as I'm wont to do, I had never seen the Tony Bourdain episode of No Reservations, where he went to Colombia.
Oh, I didn't see that either.
And I went, and I got to tell you, I was disappointed in a way, because, you know, there's a whole lot to Colombia, but he wound up spending a lot of time in Medellin. He spent some time. He went across the water from Cartagena? Is that the port city?
Yeah.
And talked to some natives there, and you can see the shining city across the water in the background. And he asked his host, he said, "You know, would you want to live over there?" Yeah, he goes, "Are you crazy? I live in paradise." You know, and these are, you know, palm fronded shacks, and they're sitting there eating lobster. He's a fisherman. And that was about as far as it went, though. And the rest of it was running around in downtown Medellin, with people talking about, you know, since all the violence has ended, and you know, Colombian people are justly anxious to shed their negative image from the past.
Yeah.
But, you know, Pablo Escobar was repeatedly excoriated. But at least Bourdain did give mention to the fact that he was excoriated in the world writ large, but in his neighborhoods he was a benefactor. And I would argue, you know, similar to the same things were said about Capone and John Gotti.
Yeah.
But I, you know, when he did Peru, he went down into the jungle and, "No, I am not drinking this ayahuasca." That kind of stuff, and there was not nearly as I would like to have seen a little bit broader influence. Go out into the country and eat some campesino food, one, that's right good food, and two, there's a different Colombia out there, and what we have done to that poor nation, to the point that even Barack Obama mentioned it on the campaign trail, and that's why. Yeah. That's why his selection of Eric Holder gave me such a case of the shakes. Although I got to tell you, Eric Holder said today, and I'm trying to I can't find it right now. I went looking for it. Eric Holder told a protester who spoke to him about torture and the prosecution of the torture architects. He said, "When we're done, you will be proud of your country." So I have a feeling that just as our friend Mora sent a passionate, impassioned letter to Eric Holder, and many others have, I have a feeling he's hearing those words. And I, no one hopes more than I that I get proven wrong about my misgivings regarding Eric Holder that stemmed from what he did relating to the death squads that roamed Colombia.
Amazingly, I saw this poll or some kind of survey regarding the happiest countries in the world. It was in like Ode magazine or something like that, maybe Utney. And I was surprised to see Colombia was like way up there, like number three. I think Iceland was quite high. I think the U.S. was in the 20s around there. And I guess there's a country called Bhutan, which instead of focusing on a gross national product, they focus on some kind of happiness product or measure of happiness of some sort. Do you remember what that is?
Offhand, I can't. I know exactly what you're talking about, because I think I've read something similar. The happiest largely white country was Denmark, wasn't it? But then, yeah, there's a happiness index or something. Yeah. And yeah. I'll have to go read up on it. The way this works, somebody will send me a link.
Yeah. Okay. So it's amazing, even in these, you know, terrible circumstances, how people, you know, find joy. And yeah, you're right. I think it was the Medellin cartel did do a lot of social work. I think the Cali cartel comparatively was more mean-spirited,
mm-hmm.
less generous, more.
Yeah, sometimes mean is the right word to use.
Yeah, yeah. Or I may be reversing the gangs, though. It could be Cali, Medellin. I'm not sure which was which. But anyway, Cartagena, I guess, is just an amazingly beautiful place. And, you know, just some of the wonderful music coming out of Colombia. And there's actually a hip-hop group called, I'm not going to remember, actually, but Amnesty International helped them tour around the world in Europe as an act of solidarity, because they, like Maria, were also getting a lot of sinister energy sent their way. So Amnesty International hooked up with them, and just powerful stuff. They're singing against neoliberal economic models and stuff like that. That level of analysis.
Yeah, give us all your resources, and we'll put you in debt for the rest of your natural born lives. That economic theory.
Yep. John Perkins, the author of that Confessions of an Economic Hitman, he's actually going to be coming to Denver.
I have got to go and find a way to get my hands on that. I've got to. I just have to. I've read excerpts, and it looks simply brilliant.
Yeah. I've enjoyed his interviews with Amy Goodman spoken with him, and where else? I like those sorts of exchanges as well. But what else? I wanted to mention, did you notice the wonderful reply? We were talking a couple weeks ago about how that association of the pesticide industry had, you know, sent an angry or critical letter to Michelle Obama about her organic garden.
Yes.
Okay. Well, did you notice later on that week, there's been a good response to that, actually, kind of a movement to write this counter letter.
No, I didn't know about that. That's wonderful.
Yeah, a petition, actually, to the Association of Pesticide Makers to talking about how they respect her decision and her concern for the health of...
You know, when I saw that story about them, but First Lady Obama, it's good to have poison on your food. When I saw that, it made me want to scream just a little bit, because I remembered, and I'm sure you do once I remind you of it, I remember when the Bush administration EPA got caught trying to put forward a pilot program where poor people, mostly poor African American people, would subject their children to household toxins, and in return for doing so, would be given a video camera and T-shirts.
Oh yeah, I do vaguely remember that.
Yeah, that was way back when I think I was still on terrestrial air, so it just made me crazy. Preston, you've got folks lighting the lines up, so we will roll along. But you have yourself a wonderful weekend, okay?
Well, real quickly, Bob.
Yeah, go right ahead.
You may have remembered Paul Wellstone's trip to Colombia as well, and you know how he confronted the, you know, herbicide people doing the fumigation campaigns. But it's Credo Action, if you wanted to check out that petition regarding Michelle Obama and their support for her organic garden. And you know Credo?
Yes, I do very much. I wish they had service here. I would have them.
Okay. Well, anyway, thanks for for your time, Bob.
Thank you, Preston. Yeah, always so many wonderful topics. I appreciate it.
We'll chat again soon.
Okay, great. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Preston calling from Denver, and we go to Maura. Hey, Maura,
hi,
welcome
Bob.
To the program. Hi.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. Yourself?
I'm doing really well. I was so excited to hear that that statement from Holder. Americans will be proud of what he does?
Yeah, it made me feel pretty good, too. And it was just sort of in a vacuum. It was some protester or someone came up to him at some public event and his response to that person was, "You will be proud of your country."
Oh, thank God. Thank God. I've been so upset about this torture issue. I mean, this isn't my country.
No.
Things like that.
It isn't, and it's such a... getting your head around the fact that we did this, and you know, I don't know if you're like me, but I have to put "we torture people" next to beautiful, brilliant, dedicated educators and Sunday school teachers and the adults in my life when I was a child who gave me the vision of an America that I could be proud of.
Absolutely. Absolutely right.
And it's, no, you know, it's not just an offense to me. It's not some sort of intellectual or theoretical offense. It's like stomping on my memories of them too, because they were really, really good people.
You know, I think my parents both died years and years and years ago. And I was just thinking how glad I am that they didn't have to live long enough to hear this.
And
I mean, I'm glad they didn't live through September 11th, but I'm more glad that they didn't hear what our country had turned into.
And you know, I expressed a similar sentiment not too long back, Maura. But by the same token, if justice will be done, that'll be a day that I miss my dad. That'll be a day that I miss my mom, that I miss my second grade teacher, Miss Yateman, my fifth grade teacher, Mrs. Harvey, my first grade teacher, Mrs. Landers. That'll be a day that I think of all of those people. You know, my Sunday school teacher, Mr.
Yeah.
Parker, all of those
who made America great.
Yeah, and who instilled in me an idea that greatness is what is that to which we as Americans should aspire.
Absolutely. Well, I just wanted to say thank you for that bit of news. It's truly heartening.
It is for me as well. And if I find that story, I will shoot you the link via email.
Oh, I would appreciate that. Thanks, Bob.
Maura, it is always such a charm to hear from you, and you have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Okay. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Calling from New Jersey, that's our buddy Maura. And I believe we have Sandra. Is that you, Sandra? Hey!
Hey, who is the cutie I was just talking to?
Oh, that's my son, Ferg Horn, intern junior grade.
Oh, well. Yes, okay. That's good. Put him to work. I agree.
About time.
Yeah, how old is he?
He is 13.
Okay, well, you know, good job. That's great. Yeah, listen, I just wanted to touch base because am I hearing right, or is there, you know, are people pressuring the administration? They're kind of backing off of their blank check, no prosecution now?
I don't think anybody's backed up. Well, the thing is, Sandra, there have always been, and, you know, anytime a lawyer drafts anything, and let's do remember that our president is a lawyer, the lawyer will put words in there that he can hide behind.
Mm.
And it is worth remembering that this so-called blanket pardon had weasel words in it. And that's, and I'm not calling, you know, this isn't like ABC News, Brian Ross. I'm not saying that, you know, RFK says Barack Obama is an indentured servant when he didn't say it. And I'm not saying that Barack Obama's a weasel. But lawyers use weasel words. And that's just a term of art. They're weasel words. And the pardon said, no CIA operative who relied in good faith on the OLC memos will be prosecuted. But now that we know, Sandra, that there were 183 waterboardings of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed in the month of March alone?
Well, no, it's sickening, you know, and it's sort of like not even, you know, these people can pretend that this is, you know, I mean, he cannot do anything in the face of this, as Mike Malloy talks about, drip, drip, drip. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's sort of interesting because it just seems like there's a, you know, either they're defensive, they seem to be a little bit defensive because this stuff, this can't go unpunished, you know? It's, I don't really know. I just am sort of wondering if they really will try to put it off until they think people aren't interested anymore. But I think that more and more stuff will just keep coming out.
But that doesn't seem to be the case, Sandra, because there was a decision made, reported in the New York Times, I believe, no, the L.A. Times, that the Obama administration will now release photographs of the torture at Guantanamo.
Okay, well, see, but this is what I'm saying. It's like, if they got enough nerve to go against the security state like this and open the curtain, they cannot expect us not to say, oh, well, this is illegal, and when are the investigations starting, right?
Right.
Isn't that the natural progression of if you make a crime known, then in this country people usually want someone to pay. This is how it goes, right?
Yeah, you know, get a rope.
Now, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, that's the history of this country is get a rope.
This is where we're living. So I'm like, I don't know, you know, I don't know what they have to have some sort of plan. I don't, those people strike me as pretty calculating.
Well, I think I misspoke earlier, Sandra. The story I read in the L.A. Times was the story recounting the fact that Obama and his White House staff were deeply divided over whether or not to release the torture memos.
No. I vaguely remember that, and that sort of falls into what I'm saying about this reluctance, which is disgusting because the law has been broken. You should be more than happy to show that you want to prosecute so-called leaders, more so than the rest of us. You know what I mean?
Yeah, what I found interesting is that the people who were in favor of releasing the memos were folks like Eric Holder, director of National National Security I can't remember his name now, but he gave me the creeps because he came from the coal industry to be national security guy, and he was in favor of releasing the memos. The people who were and Robert Gates, you know, Bush's defense secretary, was in favor of releasing the memos.
Who wasn't in favor of it though?
Who wasn't?
Rahm Emanuel.
I don't think Rahm Emanuel was, the Michael, oh, darn it.
What, Hayden?
No, Hayden and Mukasey are out. There's still another Michael in there.
Oh, okay.
Who was against it. Rats, I wish I had the thing in front of me, because it was all laid out.
That's okay. I just am sort of, like I said, I'm just wondering if it's some building pressure from the populace or what's going on. Because
I think that's a big part of it.
Because I think that most people I know, people who I know are fairly conservative, are like, no, this is wrong. And I mean people who are in policy positions, academia, you know, they're usually pretty temperate about it, like they support the status quo. But these people are like, oh, my God, you know, if he's releasing them, something has to be done. They're all outraged, blah, blah, blah. So if they're outraged, I'm figuring quite a few other establishment types are. You know what I mean?
Oh, I'm sure they are. The people arguing against the release, Sandra, were the current CIA director, Leon Panetta, his four immediate predecessors, Obama's top counterterrorism advisor, and the people in favor of it were Holder, Director of National Intelligence Dennis Blair, White House Counsel Gregory Craig, and Robert Gates. And one of the reasons, Joint Chief Chairman Mike Mullen sided with Gates. But one of the reasons that Gates and others sided was the fact, you know, there are ongoing legal actions in federal court, and they said, look, it doesn't look like the judge is going to say no on this. Keep it secret. So better to get it out there now and deal with it. And you know, so there was some politics involved with it. You know, just dirty old-fashioned politics.
Well, not only only that, but, I mean, the whole thing is just, I mean, it's not like the world don't know what we're doing. You see what I'm saying? This is
yes.
all for public consumption. And, please, I think Americans can handle it at this point.
Well, I don't, frankly, some of us can. Some of us can't. You know, you've got Bill O'Reilly out there in the last day or so screaming, torture my ass. And I'm thinking, you know, what? Bill O'Reilly, closet phone. And you know, even Fox News is split over it with Shepard Smith saying, we don't effing torture.
Well, no, you know, yeah.
But that's all kabuki, okay?
And not only that, but Bill O'Reilly with his crack pipe stories. And I mean, he's despicable. So I figure he's one of the people who got the tape and he's, you know, wanking over it. Forgive me for being crude. But
No, that's okay. He's getting off on it. I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, those people strike me as straight up, can I have a tape, you know, types who are, yeah. You know, so I don't care about him.
No, me either. But as Juanita mentioned at the top of the show, Sandra, I am very much intrigued by this little corner that Sean Hannity got himself in.
Oh, see, you know, I can't do it. That's why I listen to you, so I can get the tips here and there on him, because I can't stand to even hear their voices. So what did he do?
Well, last night he was on the air with Charles Grodin, who was a real smart, scary smart liberal. And
Grodin, the actor?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And Charles Grodin challenged Sean Hannity to be waterboarded. And before
Christopher Hitchens?
Yeah, a la Christopher Hitchens, exactly, who lasted all of 3 seconds.
And so what is Sean Hannity, what did he
say? So Hannity, right? Hannity engaged mouth before brain. You know, tell me there's anything new in that.
Gee, what did he say?
Well, I'll be waterboarded, and I'll give the money to charity for the troops.
Yeah, that is so wrong on so many different levels.
Yeah, but the best part of it was when Olbermann showed up on his show a few hours later and said, that's cool, Sean. Glad you'll do it. Tell you what, you name the charity, and I'll pay $1,000 for every second you last.
Shut the hell up. Okay, well, you know what? That sounds like a winner. Do you know that they get some hella ratings? Because I'd watch that, all right?
Oh, yeah, that's what I said. You know, I'd pay for closed circuit on that.
No, me and a whole bunch of other people, I would make sure that. In fact, I'd probably organize a class at the university I go to watch that shit. No, for real.
And you know, the nature of Olbermann's challenge was it has to be covered by more than Fox. You have to let other networks in.
Mm.
And we all get to watch, Sean. And then he had Lawrence O'Donnell on following, who said, of course, Sean's a coward. Sean thinks waterboarding works because Sean is a coward who would wet his pants at the thought of being waterboarded.
Oh, no, as soon as the soaked cloth came towards his big-ass mouth, he would probably piss himself. You know what I mean?
That's exactly. And so we were theorizing a little bit earlier in the program, Sandra. I was suggesting that he should be sent for a nice swim, told go take a swim, and then his green room. You know what the green room is? In broadcast and theater and TV and stuff, you know, that's where you wait before you go on stage. Right. His green room should be air-conditioned to about 45 degrees, and they should let him wait an hour and keep coming back and saying, Sean, it's okay. I know you're wet and cold and everything from your swim, but it'll be all right. We're just making sure that everything is safe for you. Let Sean Hannity wait in a freezing cold room, soaking wet, for about an hour. Then bring him out, shivering and shaking. Put him on a board. And then have somebody explain to him, now, Sean, this is all being done under controlled circumstances, but you need to understand that there is a risk of death involved.
That's the thing about these people. You know, it's, yeah, put up already. You know, they're chicken hawks, and they talk a good game. But I'd have a lot more respect if you went ahead and did it. You know that?
Yeah, exactly. And he's kind of in a place where he has to.
Well, I gotta keep on top. That sounds hilarious. Well, I mean, it's pathetic, but it's kind of hilarious. What about that weirdo, what's that other freak on Fox? Glenn Beck?
Glenn Beck, and did you hear the Earth Day thing?
No, God, what?
Glenn Beck on Earth Day, you know, it's like, sometimes it seems unfair, Sandra, because it's like talking about people at the asylum.
Well,
But Glenn Beck said, had a caller who said, hey, Glenn,
I'm going hunting, and I'm going to cut down some trees on Earth Day. And Glenn Beck, this was a radio program, he said, this is like Nirvana here. This is eroticism.
Oh, my God.
But then again, Flimball said, my friends, I am personally on this Earth Day going to make certain that I am responsible for destroying no less than 200 acres of rainforest.
But, I mean, at this point, they sound just ridiculous. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they do. And you know, Al Gore, I played it earlier on the show, but Al Gore made a fool of some right-wing tool congressman from Texas this evening, earlier today. Oh, yeah, that was fun. And he said, yeah, what are you going to do about the jobs? How much is it going to cost? And bless his heart, Al Gore said, well, Congressman, if you'd bother to read the New York Times, you'll notice that the numbers are on the front page today. Bing.
Oh, God, it's just, I know, but if it wasn't so, everything seems so serious to have all these idiots so with their hands on the lever of power, you know? I mean, I don't know. I'm just sort of, yeah. Hey, listen, I just have a housekeeping question for you. Maybe you can answer.
Sure.
Guy James played this song. I guess it's like the end of innocence, but it's a duet.
Ooh, I'll have to check into that, but I will check into it.
I don't know who it is. Maybe it's Don Henley. I know it's his song, but there's a woman singing with him.
You've put it out there in the universe, and someone in the chat room will probably respond to me in a matter of minutes.
Oh, that's cool. But anyway, I know you probably have some more people waiting, so I just wanted to check in.
Well, I'm glad you did, and I hope you have yourself a wonderful weekend. It's always a pleasure hearing from you. All right,
okay.
Well, take care, Sandra.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye now. If Hannity agrees to be waterboarded, I'm game. You know, I'll pop the popcorn. You know, you bring the beer, okay? But then again, if Hannity agrees to be waterboarded, you got to understand, it's going to be a hell of a lot like Geraldo Rivera opening, I almost said Truman Capote, Al Capone's secret vault. A lot of hype, and then he won't be able to. You know what? See, Keith Olbermann knows he ain't going to be out. He probably won't be out $500. Because as soon as Hannity tries to take the first breath and it's water, game over. Luke is with us. Hey, Luke, welcome to the program.
Good evening.
How are you?
Well, like I say, I was watching. I turned on to see how much kind of coverage that got, and of course, dear old Lou Dobbs had it on the thing. Of course, he talked over the whole thing while he's had Al on the thing. Never showed good old Barton. So you know how that goes. And it's like, say, I'm sure by tomorrow morning they'll be running tapes of it over at Fox Noise, where I'm sure they'll cut it up to where it'll look like it's the reverse of what it said. But you're right, that was fun. I tell you what, it's over at cspan.org over there at their website if you want to go over and watch it, because I try to get to their schedule and I can't. It keeps on kicking me out. I was going to see when they were going to run it this weekend, but they're not running it tonight as far as I know. But I assume sometime this weekend they'll run it. But the one I liked the other day was Oberman was talking about the torture memos,
mm-hmm.
where he was talking about they were claiming, you know, that it was the torture had to help them to stop what George Bush laughingly called the library tower case.
Oh, Lord, I know.
Yeah. And the thing was, Oberman brought up the fact that, oh, by the way, that was 6 months before we captured whatever his name is.
Khalid Sheikh Mohammed?
Mohammed, yeah. It was like 6 months before they caught him. And it's amazing how they got information out of him 6 months before they caught
him. Yeah, oops, the baby. Sure. Yeah.
So I think that's one thing that's going to be very important.
What is this fact-checking you are talking about? Yeah.
Well, like I said, I think that's going to be important on all this, especially, is watching the timeline. You know, seeing when people said things and when things happened, you know, and so when they start saying, oh, it saved people here, it's like, fine, you tell us who. We want to know what you got.
Well, see, and Dick Cheney's down to playing Brer Rabbit now. Have you noticed this, Luke?
Well, the one that Olbermann opened his show with said that one of the documents that Cheney has, like two documents he wants, one of them is like 21 pages. He only wants 8 pages of it released.
Right, and see, that's the other kind of fun thing, is Dick Cheney's out here saying, well, I think if they're going to release the memos, they ought to at least release the documents that will show how successful it was. And the Obama administration came back and said, oh, no, we're not, we, no, no, you want to prove it? We're going to release the photographs.
Mm-hmm. Well, And the thing is, what apparently they're wanting to release is some memo that was written like in 2004 or 2005. I'm sitting here going, I see a little rewriting of history going on.
Oh, sure, and it's going
to protect his ass.
Absolutely, and for those of us who remember Welcome Back, Cotter, it will be signed Epstein's mom.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, I've been listening to this last week. I went out to our local used bookstore, and I went over, drifted over into the CD audiobook area, and I picked up Al Franken's
Lying Liars and the Liars Who Lie Them?
The next one. I can't, was it something with the truth with jokes, or whatever the last one was. And it's interesting because that happened right after 2004 when he did that one. And he was going back on some of this stuff about that time. And it's interesting to just remember all the things they said. You know, I mean, it's one of those things we all need to dig out our books and look at some of the different books that we have, you know, and find out what things were being said 2-3 years ago. But now all of a sudden, well, it's faded a little bit, but I know something was said, but I can't remember exactly what it was. You know, we need to refresh ourselves on when all this stuff came out, what came out.
I agree.
Like I say, the timeline's going to be the important thing on all this. But, no, I tell you what, you were talking a minute ago about the guys doing it. I want the guys from Camp Lejeune that do the anti-torture class. You know, teach them not to break.
Mm-hmm.
That's who I want doing it. I want a shave-headed Marine that looks scary just when he walks into a room. You know, or in fact, I want him wearing a black hood. I don't want him to know who it is.
Ooh, I like that. I like that.
And then lean down, and you had a good idea. Mine is, when he leans in, he goes, I watch Keith and Rachel every night.
Yeah, but then that life excuse, that life support system, cheap excuse for a haircut, would claim bias and weenie out. So it needs to be done straight pro. And under circumstances that are the same or similar to those under which Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was waterboarded.
I want the guys who do it. I want them wearing hoods because I don't want them to know who they are.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. You know, because one of the things is that the reason they say that this isn't torture is because its effect is, this was said the other day, its effect is primarily psychological.
Yeah.
As if psychology could not be part and parcel of torture. So I want it to be as psychological for Sean Hannity as it is for anybody else.
Well, it's like you said. It's like, Sean, we're going to put you in the green room. We're going to turn the air conditioning down. We're going to turn the lights off. And we're going to let you stay in there for a little while. We're not going to tell you how long, but a little while.
Yeah.
And like you say, keep cranking up the fan every once in a while on the AC. And like I say, I'd leave him in there for about an hour and a half. He'll probably think he's been in there all day. But like I say, I take everything out of the room, whatever room you put him in. I want it totally blank. I don't want him to be able to, you know, to I want him. And like I say, I'd like him treated the way prisoners are. Put him in a blank room, you know, so he ain't got any reference on what's going on in the world. Because that's what part of that is disorientation. You know, you don't want him to know what's going on, when's going on, how long you've been inside, how long we've been doing this.
Right.
You that's the key. You're trying to take their mind and trying to shake it up. The one that Lou was so burned up about tonight. You know, in Mexico they got the swine flu.
Oh God, that means the savage wiener's having a fit about it right now.
Oh, because he was showing people wearing the mask, you know, like they used to in Tokyo sometimes. I'm sitting there going, I accept that there's been an outbreak, but I know Lou wants people at the borders with flamethrowers. You know how that is.
Yeah.
It's like, Lou, one night, just put the white hood on. Come on. We just want to see you in it.
Just, yeah, it's okay. Come on out, Lou.
You know, it's like I say, when they left, did they bring you the stuff and said, Glenn's gone, you've got to be the lunatic on the channel tonight? I mean, was that it? Did you draw the short straw?
Yeah, congratulations, Lou. You got the crazy slot.
And he's good at it. It's fun if you watch him talk to these people. On his little hour, watch it. He doesn't have many people on that disagree with him, but of course he'll have the people on that agree with him. But he'll talk about the people that disagree with him and tell everybody how well they didn't make much of a case. But of course we can't carry that. Can't show you any tape of it. Can't show you any transcript. No, no, no. But I'll tell you, he didn't do too well on that. You know, it's sort of like, you know, news by proxy.
Exactly. Like,
please, if you, you can show us the tape. We promise. Come on, you show it. I thought tonight that one of the C-SPANs was having a talk with our friend Fat Tony.
Oh yeah.
And I was loving Fat Tony's on air because like we've talked about before, I still want to ask him. Okay, Mr. Scalia or Justice Scalia, you do say that document called the Constitution is not a living document, right? Nothing changes over the years. And I wanted to just say yes, and I said, good. Like I said, that means it's flintlock and breech loaders.
Yeah, and you just gave up the right to ride in an automobile.
Yeah. You know, it's
and by the way, no more Cipro for you if there's another anthrax attack.
And I meant to ask something else that I thought of, and I do not know the answer, and I'll put it out there to your chat room to figure it out. If I'm not mistaken, wasn't one of the justices, either Roberts or Alito, didn't one of them have to almost recuse himself from something involving all the torture stuff or something? Or I remember having to recuse himself for some case that was in the news at the time.
I think it was either Roberts or Alito, and Alito had recused himself. It might have been the litigation regarding Cheney's Energy Task Force because he owns so damn much Exxon. I've been saying Enron in the place of Exxon all night. I got a psychological problem, I guess. I think it was litigation regarding Exxon.
Oh, okay.
Disclaimer, I don't have it at my fingertips.
I couldn't remember the exact details on it just off the top of my head because I was sitting there thinking, oh, boy, won't this be fun if it turns out that some of this stuff ran through the, you know, because like I say, this was before either one of them were on the bench. I wonder if any of those memos got run by a Justice Roberts or a Justice Alito. Wouldn't that be a fun little kicker?
Well, I'm trying. No, it wouldn't have been run by Alito because he was on the circuit court, and I think Roberts was as well.
Okay.
What would have been fun is if what's her name? Myers? Harriet Myers? Yeah, that would have been a real jolly.
As Bill Maher described her, the lady who ran the lotteries in Texas. Yes, that's her.
Yeah.
Oh God, I tell you. All right, I'm gonna let you go, but I know you got just 10 minutes left. So have a good weekend.
All right, you too.
And I hope you feel better by Monday. And hope we all feel better.
Let's all feel better.
All right.
Take care, Luke. Bye now. Yeah, about 8 minutes before the hour, I'd say we're pretty well close to done. But I want to throw one more thing out there for your consideration, just because it's so darned obnoxious. And that is something, you know, it must be frustrating to be the president because you go through and you make all these nominations. And then your term is halfway over before the people get to take the job. For instance, one of the, you know where the torture memos came from, right? It came from the Office of Legal Counsel. It was Bush administration goonies who wrote the torture memos from the Office of Legal Counsel. Barack Obama has nominated Don Johnson to be the head of the Justice Department's OLC. Don Johnson has been smeared by the right wing. Right-wing Congressman Chris Smith of New Jersey described Don Johnson thusly. Don Johnson. Don't start the Miami Vice theme. Don Johnson. She has a prejudice against motherhood, the family, and a fundamental respect for all human life. Guess what? Her nomination has been held up. Mm-hmm. Competent, good lawyer, able fit for the job. What is her sin? Well, she has been counsel for NARAL, the National Abortion Rights Action League. She was NARAL's lawyer. She is very decidedly pro-choice. Being as how she's a female and has a uterus, maybe she doesn't take kindly to flabby old, doughy old white men telling her what to do with it. As a flabby old, doughy old white guy, I know better than to tell a woman what to do with her uterus. Being how it's hers, but then again, that has as much to do with being raised right and having good manners, too. And these right-wingers don't have any manners. And they were definitely not raised right. She was counsel for NARAL. And her nomination will be filibustered. It will be opposed. Guess who has announced he is going to oppose her nomination? James Inhofe of Oklahoma? Jim DeMedid from South Carolina? Jeff Sessions from Alabama? John Cornyn of Texas? Mitch McConnell of Kentucky? Any of the usual suspects? Ben Nelson from Nebraska. For those of you scoring at home, and even those of you who are alone, Ben Nelson is a Democrat. Ben Nelson is a Democrat the way that I'm an invader from Mars, in name only. Now, just so you can remember, just so you can have something by which to side-by-side compare Ben Nelson's conduct. You know, he kind of looks like a flabbier, bad toupee version of Joe Lieberman, somehow, to my mind. But Ben Nelson voted to confirm Samuel Alito. He voted to confirm John Roberts. Don Johnson? Not so much. So we are pro-fascist, anti-female. I guess we're going to have to add, well, no, it's not like Ben Nelson hasn't been on it. He just gets another check mark next to his name, and tick, 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 slash on the kiss my butt list. Just wanted y'all to know that before we close the program for the evening. So, thanks so much for making this an enjoyable Friday evening. You know, oddly enough, I feel better than I did when I started it. You guys do that for me. We'll catch you Monday. In the meantime, stick around for the weekend schedule. The Rick Smith Show about 5:15 on Saturday evening will be the first run, followed by the first run of Rick's Place with horn psychotherapist Rick Goodner at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Billy Shears comes your way with Night Sounds at 9 p.m. Then Sunday night, live conversation radio on the horn recommences with All Foxed Up at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, Sunday evening. Thanks, of course, to all of you who helped keep the horn on the air. I can never express our gratitude enough. Here in the waning hours of the 24th of April, with five days and about 3 hours left in April, it would be mighty nice to push a little closer to $2,000 on the month. Mighty nice indeed, but I understand also how hard the times are. Thanks to those of you who this month and so many months have helped keep things going. If you want to help out, there's a PayPal button at headonradionetwork.com. Just click donate and it'll take you to the donate page. You can also go via snail mail, and the snail mail address is also on that donate page, if you feel so inclined. Thanks go out, of course, to Peter Godbold, our IT professional, to John Fox, our chief engineer, and so many other things, Ben Birch, who makes all the streaming happen via whiterosesociety.org, and, of course, to the bravest, hardest-working people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and coalriverwind.org. Every last one of them standing upstream and fighting like the dickens, because they understand that all around this planet where mountaintop removal is concerned, we are all downstream. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.
Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain.